talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you a mod or a rocker?
No, I'm a mocker.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hello, ladies. How are you? Fantastic.
Hey, Ole, over there on your laptop. Acknowledge me, please.
I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. I got big booty bitches.
This thong gives me an ass rash, but the boys love it.
If the boner police are here, I demand a lawyer.
You know, sometimes to get perspective, I like to think about a spaceman on a star incredibly far away. And our problems don't matter to him because we're just a distant point of light. But he feels sorry for me because he has an incredibly powerful microscope and he can see my face.
Too much! That's what I mean.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Well, guess what?
It's
hammer time.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We've got Snooki.
Not now, Kevin.
Just like the other one.
Do you like teenage girls?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Hello.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coat.
Roll.
What time is it? What time isn't it?
Just like the other one.
We've got Snooki.
This one seems to be about to end.
Are you putting me on?
I don't have another sin.
Could be a crackhead. You got hold to the wrong stuff.
But don't work out that joint.
Hungry like the vagina. And now, our feature presentation.
Come on now.
Kevin and Bean whistle the hits.
Sort of.
Sort of whistle.
To the best
Kevin
of their
and Bean
ability.
Blow hum the hits.
Blow hum the hits.
And that, by the way, was the best I did.
Absolutely.
That was, I mean, that everything else was much worse than that.
Yeah, you gave them a chance with that one. They actually could have figured out what song that is. You can pick up the phone and give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. That, as always, is the toll-free number if you want to get on the air and win a prize. And I'm sure you have something to say about
Miami. South Beach, bringing the heat.
I gotta tell you, and you'll hear a lot about this today, and it goes so far beyond a sports story, the LeBron James announcement yesterday, because I really thought, I got this impression, tell me if you did too, Kevin, that this whole week that people were really piling on the anti-LeBron bandwagon as if he were a bad guy. Leading up to last night, I thought, the kid, you know, he played hard, served out his contract, has the right to go someplace else if he wants. Why is everybody hating on him?
Because yeah, he did a big one-hour special?
Yeah, that's hateable.
That's
until I saw the show last night, and if what he said was true, and Cleveland really didn't know before the announcement was made on television, and that's how they found out, wow, what an F you that is to the city you've been playing for 7 years. I mean, seriously, what an F you. He said the team that he knew had just found out who he was going to. The rest of the teams did not know.
How crappy
is that?
Well, A, it's crappy, but B, it's also the only way to make sure that it doesn't get out. I mean, really.
Yeah, but you could have a press conference. You don't have to have a one-hour look at me special.
Yeah,
you could have a press conference in Cleveland is what you do, is you call a press conference in Cleveland and you invite the Cleveland media. And, of course, the national media shows up and you say, hey, I just want to thank the city of Cleveland for having me and it's been great, but I've decided to go and here's why.
Yeah.
And you handle it then before you go on ESPN and turn it into – you know, a one-hour special.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so – that's cold-blooded is what that is.
I didn't see the special.
You didn't miss much.
Really? It wasn't not just 59 minutes of padding?
We do
That's
have
exactly
highlights.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And you are going to enjoy some of the ways they filled that hour. But if you want to talk about LeBron or anything, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. The best part of the whole thing, though, is going beyond LeBron. And I honestly didn't believe this was real until I started seeing it republished by the Associated Press and other reputable news organizations, is the majority owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, he should have sat on this 24 hours before he published
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But he put an open letter out. Calling, I mean, in the first sentence, as you now know, our former hero who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. Look, the guy didn't give you AIDS, okay?
Yeah.
It's a business decision. He may have handled it in a shoddy way.
The owner wrote that letter like he would have when he was 9.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was very tacky.
This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup, culminating with a national TV special of his quote-unquote decision, unlike anything ever quote-unquote witnessed in the history of sports and probably the history of entertainment. I mean, it's crazy. You have to see this letter. And the most remarkable thing about it, and how do you sit down as an adult and a businessman and make this pledge in all capital letters? I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former king wins one.
Is there a championship to be won between now and the very next NBA season?
How do you, and then you can take that to the bank. How stupid are you to say that? How do you guarantee a championship?
You know what this is, Bean? Honestly, I think this is, we're going to lose all of our season ticket holders. So I need to do something to make, keep them interested.
And
that's
that
was my thought.
To be loyal and angry and
just to not walk away.
Right.
Just because now that LeBron's gone, what is there? So let's just cancel all and I think he's worried about money.
That's of course he is. I mean, and somebody made the point last night that the Cavaliers are worth 50% less than they were yesterday right now.
Wow.
And as a business owner, that has got to kill you. But how do you guarantee a championship when you really – it's not like there are a million other free agents out there that you can get to replace LeBron. You still are limited by the available talent pool that's available and will come to Cleveland.
Yeah, and they're going to have to play Miami.
And have to play Miami,
that's
yeah.
the problem.
So anyway, it was a bizarre. I'm almost glad you didn't see it, Kevin, because you're going to love the highlights so much of some of the things that they did on the program last night.
I was trying to watch while getting kicked out of a poker tournament. I was trying my best.
Oh, yes, and we're looking forward to hearing about that as well.
Yeah. And then we had to do the walk of shame, which none of us were aware of, where we had to get up on the microphone and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm Kevin, and I just got knocked out." Have
really?
You ever heard of that?
No, but it's awesome.
Never heard of it.
What is it, like an AA meeting or something?
Sort of, yeah.
My name is Kevin, and I have a problem with winning.
And then everybody claps, and you do the walk of shame. I didn't realize that that was part of poker. But
Do they throw rotten fruit at you or anything? Or?
No. They slime us when we get out in the hallway, but other than that, it's normal.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
The Hermosa Beach AVP is coming to town right around the corner. You get a pair of tickets for it right now. If you get on the air with Kevin Amin's What It Do, Nephew, great day out there on the sand watching professional athletes and lots of chicks in bikinis. Although, if summer ever arrives in Los Angeles, maybe you'll see some bikinis. Wasn't it 70 yesterday as a high?
Yeah, but
I heard it set a record for the lowest high in the date in history.
The girls at Hermosa will show up. It doesn't
They'll
matter.
They'll show up anyway. Yeah. Let's talk to, how about John? He's on line 4. He's calling about the self-proclaimed king, as the Cavaliers owner calls him. Hi, John. Welcome to the show. What it do?
What it do, y'all?
What's happening?
What it do?
Hey, I only caught like just a few seconds of the decision last night.
The decision.
Capital D, capital D, by the way. Say it with reverence.
But, you know, what I saw was like LeBron James was like on a screen. Like, he was like, you know, the vampire Lestat. Remember in the movie? Like, you know, he was like at a remote location and wasn't there in person. Like, is that really happening? Or
you mean he wasn't?
I was grossed out by the whole thing. I couldn't even watch it. You know,
he wasn't in the room with the camera.
He was.
A little bit I saw.
He was in a gymnasium. He was in what looked like it was a boys and girls club event. You know, he was raising money for.
He's
in a gymnasium.
Doing a camp thing for the last couple of days. Yeah,
sitting on little you know, metal director's chairs up on a little stage. It was kind of a low rent outfit for the announcement. But yeah, he was sitting across from Jim Gray, who was doing the interview.
Man, these people, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, what do you mean by these people, huh? All right,
yes,
Tyler.
Yes,
I was going to say the boys and girls club itself. Really encapsulates how
LeBron has botched this whole thing. He goes and chooses this Boys and Girls Club to hold this press conference, and you know, proceeds go to this charity, but and everything seems nice. Then kicks out all the boys and girls that are members of that Boys and Girls Club to make room for the worldwide media. So all these kids that are there shooting hoops and playing ping pong, get out!
Everybody out now. Yeah. This is my place.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Tyler. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening?
Nothing. Okay, so my question is, what do you think that the world is coming to an end in 2012? You
know, yes.
The Aztecs, you know, they thought that's what was going to happen. Scientists say that's what's going to happen. But, you know, the Bible, you know, personally I'm a Christian, but the Bible says, you know, God's going to choose when he wants everybody to go and when he doesn't want everybody to go. See, what I'm worried about is that I think 2012 is going to be the year that we die because, you know, there's these oil spills, there's sinkholes in Guatemala.
Wow, Jimmy, boom.
Right?
All right, I'd like to know which scientists
that's my question to you, Tyler, because where have you heard scientists are saying the world is going to end in 2 years?
All over. I've talked to people about it. I've talked to teachers about it. I've talked to
Can you send me an article of one scientist who has said the world will end in
2012? Hey, doubter, why don't you just take it easy? I'm going to be hanging out with Tyler in our bunker.
I've talked to people, though, just isn't good enough for me. I'm sorry. And by the way, if the world ends, how will a bunker help you?
It won't. I just am going to take
it. Good point.
And you're a Christian, so you're going to, like, rise and
go to
stuff,
heaven.
Right?
Yeah.
It's all
the
good
world
for
ending
you.
Is best case scenario for you. One day you're in, you know, you're here and the world is ending. The next day you're in heaven. You win. What do you care?
Right? That's the plan.
All right. Well, good.
Are you calling to...
You're sitting on top of the world, my friend.
Are you calling to gloat then? I don't understand.
I think so. Right, I think that's what he's doing. Yeah. All right. Perhaps we leave it there then.
That was a good call. Do you guys think the world's going to end?
Like scientists
well,
do?
Well, we know.
Like scientists do? Name one. Well, I've talked to people.
Teachers.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I think I'm going to be sick.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage. It's Friday. Got the movie beat because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to play some highlights of LeBron James. Look at me.
Yes, we are.
That's what
Here's
it was called,
what LeBron
right?
James look would look. Yeah, look at me was a special. Here's what LeBron James would look like in the uniform for the other teams that he's considering.
Did they do that?
Here's a graphic of what he looks like in a Nets jersey. And look over here. Here's how he'd look wearing a Knicks jersey.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It was something else.
Plus, we're going to talk about this octopus. I don't know if you've been following. I know a lot of people don't like the World Cup, but this story is bizarre in that there's an octopus that's picking winners, and it's 6 out of 6.
How? First of all, how does it pick winners?
It's in a room with 2 tanks with food in it, and then it has the option to eat out of either tank. And whichever tank it goes to, they each have a flag on it that represents whichever team he's picking.
And it's in Germany, and he picked the 4 German wins, and then there were 2 losses, right, B?
That's right, and he picked them both.
He picked both losses. So the semifinal, when they played Spain, and you know they were it was considered they might win, he picked Spain, and now he's getting death threats. The
poor
octopus.
Paul. Poor Paul.
Paul the octopus.
His name is Paul.
Yes.
Well, that's very German.
We have Jason Siegel on the program today.
Oh, he's great.
Love him. Yep. We have comedian Eddie Ift on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Blink-182 in the studio.
Oh, that's right.
So they're coming in this morning as well. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52.
I can't get my chair to work.
My chair's complicated.
I can't get my chair to work.
How does it work?
My chair's like 4 inches off the ground.
Hey, party people, it's Friday. Finally, on the Kevin and Bean Show, Ralph is doing a double duty like he does. He'll have the movie beat for you next hour. Right now, time for the first look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Yeah! Double duty. Today, for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get out last night, Ralph?
2 different beats, that's all.
Let's see. I probably left the casino around 10:30.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad.
Well, roughly the same.
Yeah? How'd you do?
Poorly.
We parted ways after the poker tournament. You were going to the poker room. I was going to the blackjack table.
Here's the thing about me in poker. I can get really good at poker. Really good. Like, I study, and I know what I'm doing, and I play, and
right.
I can start
But the problem with my mind is I take more than a week off. Now I'm back at ground zero. I have to start again.
No.
I'm like, do I get 21? What do
you, you did ask during the tournament, where's the big wheel and the ball? And I tried to explain to you that was roulette. That wasn't even poker. That has nothing to do with the cards.
It's a very difficult game to start from scratch every time.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I wish
I
didn't have to, but I did. So I did poorly.
Kevin and I were playing in a poker tournament last night at the San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino. And the funny thing is, you hear Indian bingo and casino, and you think, oh, it's going to be a teepee in the desert, and they're going to have a bingo caller, and then, you know, get one of those cards, and you mark it off with an ink pen. But we got there, and I had never been. It's like a Vegas-style casino right there in the middle of the San Bernardino, California area. I was shocked.
Well, the Indians got lots of money to spend on stuff like that.
Beautiful joint.
But coming from Arizona, where they have Indian casinos, those Indian casinos, at least when I was there, I mean...
They're what you think.
It's a Quonset hut and a folding table and a chair.
A couple of chips and you're not sure from what game.
That's right. So it's like a token, like a Subway token is a chip, another one. It's like...
Well, it was a nice place.
We had a good time, and thanks to everybody who came out to support us.
And we were happy to support them with our money as well.
Yes. Actually, I made a couple $100 on
Blackjack.
Did you?
Yeah. Nice.
I did it right for myself.
Right. I didn't.
I want to give a shout-out to Guy. He's calling. He's been calling in all morning, saying what a good time he had last night. Remember our bald friend Guy?
Oh, bald friend, yeah,
who brought
sure.
the red vines for everybody at the poker table?
Sure.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. You got to have a red vine when you're eating poker.
Sure.
Or eating red vine when you're playing poker.
Whatever.
What have you. Lindsay Lohan in the news. Apparently, the rats are leaving the sinking ship that is the SS Lohan.
Uh-oh.
Her lawyer, Sean Chapman Holly, has quit. No longer represents Lindsay Lohan, she told TMZ when they called her to get a confirmation on a story.
That's just not good.
That happened just hours after she released a statement Thursday saying that Lindsay's jail sentence was unfair.
You think she just couldn't back up that lie?
Even a lawyer got tired of lying for Lindsay Lohan. It was so funny because she was also the one who addressed the photographs that surfaced on the internet of Lindsay's fingernail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
That had the words F-U stenciled on it. This is just pure lawyer speak. She said, the real issue is why a photographer bothered to zoom in so closely, since the words could be barely seen by the naked eye.
That's the issue?
Apparently that's the issue. Not the fact that she had a F-U written on her nails at a court hearing.
That photographer should have gotten a bonus.
Yeah, for noticing.
Yeah.
That's like Mel Gibson saying, it's not important that I said she should be raped by a pack of ants. It's that somebody taped me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
So apparently Lindsay's new lawyer is a woman named Tiffany Fetter-Cohen, who apparently only passed the bar in November.
All right.
Oh, she's well qualified to navigate these waters.
She's got lots of experience.
Is she looking for a lawyer or girlfriend?
Lindsay's in good hands. She does seem to hire only broads.
She's got that kind of hot Israeli defense chick who's her new bodyguard. Have you seen her? And people are speculating maybe that's a romance now, too?
No.
The situation's in the news.
Yeah.
Us Weekly reports that the star of Jersey Shore is really expanding his brand name. I told you already, he's got a line of dietary workout supplements.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's working on. He also has a nutrition shake that he's putting out.
Oh.
He's designing a line of clothes.
Yeah.
With his name on it. And he's just released his own app for the iPhone.
All right.
Which is the GTL app. I kid you not.
And what does it do?
It helps you keep your schedule of gym, tanning, and laundry. In case you have a hard time.
You're in another city and you hit GTL. Does it show where the closest ones are?
The closest laundry is to a gym and a tanning salon. You can hit it all in a few block radius. So congratulations to the situation for making the most.
Or trying to make the most. Let's wait and see how it works out.
Look, the guy is just hustling. You can't deny him that.
Yeah.
Ralph, let me ask you this, because we had a conversation off air yesterday, because I detest the Jersey Shore kids. I really do. I really want to see them die in a painful way. I know that sounds like an overreaction, but I believe they've earned it. Psycho Mike would like to hang out and be friends with the situation.
Of course he would.
He would enjoy that. He would voluntarily spend time with the situation.
Psycho
Kevin,
Mike
too.
Is this far away from being the situation.
No, but
Kevin
I would enjoy
says
it.
He would too, though.
If Mike had a little less talent, he'd be the situation.
I would enjoy it from a he's a train wreck and he's bad and I would love to watch that.
Right. I think Mike just wants to pal around with him, go to the gym together, and he wants to spot him, and he wants to have him spot him, and then
bro.
They could tan together.
I look at it this way. I watch that show, and I do. I
love Jersey Shore, and I watch all his wacky antics in the club and the crazy stuff that he says to girls, and he's pouring champagne all over the place. And I just, especially here in LA, you hang out with so many people who are too cool for school, and they don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a blast to hang out with the situation and hear him talk about grenades and, you know, about, like, go up to a girl and say, look, we're going to have sex. That's the situation. I'd be like, this guy's the
best. See what I'm saying? And you know, Mike will be out there fist pumping on the dance floor alongside of him.
Yeah.
Then doing the Rainbird sprinkler and whatever effed up dance moves he's got in his back pocket.
I just want to see what your vote was. You know where I'm coming from and where Kevin and Mike are. How about you? Would you hang out with
somewhere between Mike loving and wanting to spend time with him and you giving them the death penalty. I fall somewhere in between those
there
two.
Is there any room in there?
Ends of the spectrum. I like to think so.
All right.
I like to think I fall somewhere between
Lisa,
those.
You got any time for the situation
no,
if he's around?
Not a second.
Right. No.
Speaking of people who are famous for nothing, who are making six figures with their product lines, Kim Kardashian.
Glenn Dale.
Is releasing.
She's not famous for nothing.
Well, really.
Yeah.
She just boned a guy. That's all she did.
But you know, but she's also big booty bitches, so you got to remember that.
She is releasing a new fragrance.
Is it called
Giant Size Can?
No, there's no word on what it's going to be called yet. It will be in stores next February, so we're going to have to wait for the perfume to hit stores to see what it will be called. However, the people behind the fragrance line says it smells reminiscent of a shawarma, Botox, in an NFL locker room. So if any of those fragrances sound attractive to you, you want to pick up the new fragrance from...
That does not sound good.
From K-Squared.
That's real talk right there, man.
And Brian Austin Green just isn't the luckiest man on earth as the new husband of Megan Fox. Apparently, he is very close to getting a new TV gig, which I never thought the day would come for either of those events, quite frankly. He is in conversations with ABC to join Desperate Housewives in a new role, where he would play a contractor named Keith.
Keith.
Who becomes a love interest for one of the housewives.
Really? There's going to be a love interest
apparently,
for one of the
housewives? He will be a contractor, and he'll be laying some drywall. You know what I'm saying?
What sci-fi show was he on briefly last year? He had a recurring role on a show, Ralph. Do you know?
I think it was Lost in Space.
Terminator.
I think it was...
Was it Terminator?
Oh, was it Terminator? Was that the one? Yeah.
You don't have to whisper.
It may
have the answer.
Been Doctor Who.
Terminator.
Oh, Terminator. Yeah. Oh, okay, there you go. I think it was the Terminator beam.
All right.
And these Twilight kids. Oh,
what now?
They got hearts of gold. When Eclipse opened over the Independence Day holiday weekend, apparently the cast was showing up at packed theaters all over the world. Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart showed up at a theater here in Los Angeles. To the surprise of everyone was there and thanked everyone thanked everyone for coming to see their movie. Taylor Lautner showed up at a screening in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, of all places. Peter Facinelli did the same thing in Hawaii. And Nikki Reed showed up and even did a Q&A session in New York. So, glad those kids are promoting that franchise, because maybe finally they'll make a couple bucks. No one seems to be going to see those films. So, you see why they're working so hard. Today's celebrity birthdays. One of my favorite character actors, Brian Dennehy, is 72 years old today. He's a big boy. Big boy that died, Dennehy. But, you know, he's a good kind of fat. He's like a solid, he's like a fire plug, just tree trunk kind of fat.
But he's also 1 minute from a stroke fat.
I don't think so.
He's got that giant belly.
But he's he's like sturdy. He's like sturdy fat.
He's sturdy,
It's like juggernaut fat. I'm a juggernaut, bitch. You know, he's just to knock you down kind of fat.
I'll give you that. Yeah. Juggernaut just about to die.
Chris Cooper, speaking of talented actors, he's 59 years old today. John Tesh, TV personality turned musician.
Yeah.
John Tesh celebrates his 58th birthday. Actor Jimmy Smits from, of course, NYPD Blue and L.A. Law and other programs.
West Wing.
He's 55. Tom Hanks celebrates his 54th birthday. Courtney Love is 46 years old today. Who would have ever believed?
Is that all?
She would hit 46.
But still, look at her.
She's living at 46. She got to 46.
Yeah.
You couldn't find anyone to take that bet in Vegas. And you said, give me some odds on Courtney Love making 46 years old. Never find the action. That's all I'm saying. Fred Savage from the Wonder Years, who is now also a director. He is 34 years old today. And our old pal, O.J., Orenthal James Simpson.
He's our pal?
Yeah, sure he is. You guys talk to him all the time. I hear your show from time to time. I know you guys have conversations with him from the clink. He's 63 years old today. By the way, Juice is getting married.
What?
He's getting married.
Oh, dear God.
He's getting married?
Yes, to a prison pen pal that he's never met.
Is she blonde?
But they have fallen in love via mail, and he is very, very excited to spend the rest of his life with her.
Wow.
Her name is Anna, according to this story, and she is a blonde, attractive blonde.
Mm-hmm. Anna.
And she wears a Kevlar turtleneck for some reason.
Is that right?
I don't know why she would choose to do that. But
fashion.
Maybe it's just a smart choice on her part. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Big show on the Kevin and Bean program today, including our friend Adam Carolla with the Week in Rage coming up. A band called Blink 182, not familiar with their work, stopping by on the show coming up. Comedian Eddie Ift, and we'll talk to Paul, the World Cup psychic octopus. Very excited about that. How happy is Jason Siegel to know that as of this interview, when it's over in 5 minutes, he'll be done talking about him and his Despicable Me movie opening in theaters today? Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good. You're right. I'm super psyched.
Really tired of talking about this movie, are you?
Hey, I'm sorry I couldn't be in the studio today.
Us too.
We know you're busy. I don't think people realize how much of a movie and a movie star's job is to get out there and sell, because you have probably done 30 TV shows in the last week, right?
Yeah, something like that. But I'm, to be totally honest, I know it sounds like lip service. This is maybe the best movie I've ever done. I'm really thrilled to promote it.
All right.
I will tell you that not being a Toy Story, a franchise that you're already familiar with, you know, sometimes these movies have a little bit of trouble getting traction, but everyone who has seen this and every review says it's one of the funniest movies of the year. I mean, you seem to be right. They seem to love this thing.
Yeah, well, there's something really special about it. It's the same way I feel about the Muppet movie, which I start in September. I don't know, an entire family can go in and watch it, and everyone walks out happy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like Shrek or Simpsons,
right?
Kind of the same thing. But there's no. It's not like watching Barney the Dinosaur, where parents are sort of like placating their kids.
By the way,
on every level. That's what excites me most.
That always happens. Is you try to judge the movie according to how much it's going to suck for an adult,
right?
Right,
and then you say,
yeah, totally.
And then you go, hey, it's probably your turn now. Oh, no, I'm not taking. I took him to the last one. You take him.
And unfortunately, a lot of the movies are like Hotel for Dogs, which
right.
You know is just the kids may like it, but it's going to be death. And it's such a pleasure when something comes along that you.
Yeah, when you
like
find
to.
One like this, you go, hey, yeah, I'll take him. No worries. You try to get points
you know.
For it, and then she goes, oh yeah, that's because the movie's good. You don't get points for that.
I've been doing R-rated comedies for, you know, basically my whole career, between Knocked Up and Sarah Marshall and all that. And so this is the first kind of like family movie I've done. And I was so proud and thrilled when I saw it. At first I was nervous, like, oh man, I'm doing a family movie. It's so good. And between Steve Carell and Russell Brand and Julie Andrews. I'm
yeah.
I'm the luckiest guy. I don't know who Julie Andrews is, but she's really.
they tell you she's important?
Now, is this the first time you've done an animated voice, Jason?
Yeah. It's the first time I've done anything like this.
Different is it than what you think? Because you don't just go in there and talk like Jason Siegel. I mean, you've got there's a lot of voice acting that goes on. I imagine there's a pretty steep learning curve when you get in the booth.
Yeah, the thing that is the most. I guess daunting is that you're alone in this booth. The other actors aren't there. So I had no idea what the other actors were doing. And
I heard that all the other actors did theirs together. And it was
everyone but me.
And
I was the
just
one
you.
Who got left out.
Yeah. And then they said, let's have Jason do it by himself.
That was a vote, a consensus of the rest of the team.
No, but that has to be weird because you're not acting against anyone. You're not.
I'm intimidating to other actors. That's why.
Ah. Sure.
No, but I mean, it really was like it was Christmas Day. I went in, I'd say, four times over the past 2 years and did some recording sessions, and then I got the gift of seeing this movie, and it is truly just amazing. Steve Carell is an absolute genius.
Hilarious. So you've never worked less on anything you've ever been involved with in your life than this movie.
And been more proud.
This is the first thing that I haven't been involved, like, from the ground up, you know, in a long time, because I write a lot of the stuff that I do.
Right.
And I don't know. I was just so proud and so thrilled when I saw it.
Do you get to see your character early on, or do you do all of the recording and then later?
I was given a sketch, like a drawing of my character.
Do you get any input? Like, I'd like some more muscles, and could you make me a little, could you chisel me more? And
I'm not going to lie to you. This is the best I've ever looked on.
All right.
you need to get a tattoo of a Vector, though. I think that's required.
You don't think I have one already?
Okay. This is actor Jason Segel on the phone, by the way. Of course, you know from everything in the world, including How I Met Your Mother. Despicable Me is the film opening up in theaters today. I think we've got a clip. You'll hear Jason's work from the film. Listen up.
Wow.
Why are you wearing pajamas?
These aren't pajamas. It's a warm-up suit.
What are you warming up for?
Stuff.
What sort of stuff?
Super cool stuff you wouldn't understand.
Like sleeping?
They are not pajamas!
All right, Despicable Me opens up everywhere in theaters. Jason, you're now officially done with the tour. You can go home. You can masturbate. You can go to sleep.
Wow,
you can be done.
Whoa.
No, I'm just saying,
whoa.
Work day's over, right? I'm saying enjoy yourself a little bit, Jason. That's my advice.
You think I haven't done that already?
Exactly. Perhaps during this interview. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks a lot for coming on.
Always. I'll see you guys soon.
So if you're a World Cup fan, you know by now of Paul the Octopus and his stunning predictions. He has predicted the final. He will tell you who will win this weekend's World Cup final game. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. Ralph joins us for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Well, so far it's been a disappointing summer for Hollywood. Box office receipts are down. Will this weekend continue the trend? Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Twilight did do well, right?
Yeah. It's bouncing back a little bit. Toy Story 3 is doing very well. But overall, it's been sort of a weak summer when it comes to box office, and this weekend's movies may not help a lot.
However, has it been a cruel summer, would you say, Ralph? Or
file.
Not even trying.
Wow.
That's fine. What do you mean, wow? You're disappointed that we're putting that in the file.
If I was talking about the Bananarama movie or something, maybe you could say that.
Really?
All right. Back to you.
Things are so bad, they're re-releasing Grease. Grease the Sing-Along comes out this weekend here in Los Angeles. Going to be at the AMC Century Theater. What it is Grease, and then they slap the lyrics to the words with a little bouncing ball on top of it during the musical numbers, and you get to sing along.
I wrote this down yesterday, Ralph, because Bean said while we were off the air,
yeah,
guys,
yeah,
I'm going to do one thanks to Info B.
Okay,
you think it makes me gay if I go to the Grease sing along?
Thanks for that Info B.
I believe I might go.
No, because
did you see Grease when it came out in theaters originally?
I did not.
See?
I was very
screw you. That's why you're gay. If you're a Grease fan and you want to go with other Grease fans and join in because you love the movie so much, that's one thing. You've never seen it before. You're just going to go for the sing along. A giant.
And by the way, I have seen it. I've seen
cannot
it.
Cannot sing.
Yeah, I've seen it since then. I was just extremely late. I didn't see it until it had already been out for 20
Kevin,
years.
Kevin, back me up on this. He followed that up, Ralph, with, I probably won't go. They don't have daytime shows.
You did say that. Yeah.
Well, you got to sing in the daytime while your voice is in its best form.
It sure is the perfect summer movie, though. I mean, it is a great, great movie, and I think it would be fun to go and sing, you know, You're the One That I Want.
Let's hear a little of that, B.
Well, I'm not going to do
let's
it
hear
now.
Just a little bit of it. What does that like?
So you're saying see that or don't see that? Is that your recommendation this weekend in the movie?
Saying it just seems a little weak to me, but look, I guess it could be fun. Look, okay. I played Danny Zuko on stage in college in Greece, you know.
And are you going to this?
I am not going to go. Also opening this weekend, The Kids Are All Right. No, it's not the documentary about The Who by the same name. It is a movie about a lesbian couple played by Annette Bening and Julianne Moore who have a child conceived through artificial insemination. And their child, a 15-year-old boy, is convinced by a friend to look up, his sister rather, to look up their sperm donor to try to find who the father is. And that really shakes things up in this family drama. Here's a scene from The Kids Are Alright where Annette Bening and Julianne Moore's characters are talking about how they met.
We met at UCLA. I was a resident, and
Jules had an emergency.
My tongue was numb.
What'd you do to help her?
I gave her a Valium, and I told her to relax and tried to get her to talk. you know, move her tongue around.
Yeah, actually she started teasing me, and that really helped.
I was trying to distract you.
I know, and it worked. You were really funny.
You were really pretty.
And then, you know, my tongue started working again.
Wow, yeah. I bet it did.
Wait a minute.
I bet it did.
Kevin's going to hate this. He hates old people acting sexy.
But there's the lesbian factor.
If you have to pick two old broads to be acting sexy, these two work.
Good choice, yeah.
Yeah. So you can check that out this weekend. We just talked to our buddy Jason Segel about Despicable Me. This looks like the winner for the weekend by far. Steve Carell stars as an evil genius who's planned to take over the world and steal the moon in this particular case.
I'm sorry, steal the moon?
Yes, that's one of his evil plots.
Okay.
This supervillain's life has changed when a trio of orphan girls lands on his doorstep, and he has to become the dad he never knew he could be. By all accounts, this is a very entertaining movie for kids and parents alike. Here's a little scene where Steve Carell is putting his three little daughters to bed.
Will you read us a bedtime story?
All right. All right. Sleepy kittens. Sleepy kittens. Three little kittens love to play. They had fun in the sun all day. Wow, this is garbage. You actually like this?
Steve Carell. That's so funny. That accent kills me.
And he's funny in everything he does, I think.
He is a talented dude. And lastly, Predators opens this weekend. Of course, a remake of the classic Arnold Schwarzenegger. Carl Weathers is also in that role,
wasn't
he?
Yeah, Jason Body Ventura.
That's right, the body. When they take on these alien creatures on their homeland and they have to hunt them down, where the hunted become the prey, or the hunters become the prey, rather. This is a remake produced by Robert Rodriguez. Finally, the action film we've all been waiting for that stars Adrian Brody and Topher Grace.
What happened to Adrian Brody?
Listen, it wouldn't take a planet full of predators to take on Adrian Brody and Topher Grace, okay? I'm thinking...
It'd be like just a normal-sized spider.
Or a class of fourth graders, I think. And if it was a planet with a class of fourth graders on it, they could easily take out Topher Grace and Adrian Brody.
There's got to be more than that.
Come on! What is it with this casting? Apparently, the special effects have been kicked up a notch since the original was made, of course, so the monsters look awesome, but still, I think I will be distracted by Topher Grace and Adrian Brody dragging guns through the jungle.
Sure.
So I may just go home and rent the original with Arnold. Here's a scene where Adrian Brody is telling his group of mercenaries what he thinks is going on the planet of the Predators.
All brought here for the same purpose. This planet is a game preserve, and we're the game. In case you didn't notice, we just got flushed out. They sent the dogs in, just like you would if you were stalking boar, shooting quail. They split us apart, and they watched, testing us.
How do you know this?
Because that's what I would do.
I think they are hunting boar in this movie, and they found it.
I don't think that's what they meant.
Oh,
with
really?
That kind of boar.
Different kind of boar?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was bored. That's all I know. I'm Ralph Garman. I check out what? Rough garment. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
What are we going to do? What's our life going to be like? How empty are we going to feel, Kevin, when starting Monday we turn on our TV and nothing has the vuvuzela on it?
Oh, there's
World Cup's going to be over. What then?
There's so many ways to edit out that sound. It's so great. People started sending around those emails immediately when the World Cup started, how to get rid of that sound of the vuvuzela. Because it's just like one, you just change an EQ setting and you pretty much don't hear them.
Oh,
right on one
great.
Frequency. Yeah. All right, I have one question for you before we talk about the big story, which is the psychic octopus that has stunned the world with his predictions throughout the tournament. And that is there anything lamer than a third place game?
No.
Is there anything lamer than the fact that they have a game? Look, either you're in the finals or you're not, okay? They're playing, they always do this in the World Cup, they're playing a game to find out which of the two teams that were most recently eliminated will be the third place winner of the World Cup.
Yes, they do that every time.
It's retarded, right?
And no team wants to be in that game. None.
No.
Because the game that gets them into the third place game is the game that would have put them into the finals.
Right.
So they don't win the finals, but they have to play third place, which sucks.
Yeah. Which means nothing, which is worth nothing, right?
Right.
All right, I think we have a news story on Paul, the Oracle Octopus, and why he's made such an impact this year.
Football's psychic sea creature, Paul the Octopus, is making yet another World Cup prediction. But this time, the eight-tentacled Oracle is betting on Spain winning the semifinal against his home country, Germany. Now, Paul has a perfect record when it comes to predicting the outcome of Germany's World Cup matches, so fans better keep their fingers crossed for Wednesday's clash.
Okay, so that was last week before the octopus turned out to be right, and Spain did beat Germany to advance to the finals.
Perceptive
octopus or clam or whatever we call him, who's got all the scores right in Germany, said Spain would win. However, he's picked it, and Spain are winning.
Paul the Octopus, back in Germany.
6 from 6.
6 for 6.
This is so weird. Paul the Octopus literally picking the German games. He picked the 4 games they would win. There was an upset where Germany should have won but didn't. He picked that the Slovenia, Slovakia, whoever would win. He picked that they would lose
he
that game.
Clearly has something going on.
And then he picked Spain over Germany. Wow. 6 for 6. It's an octopus, people.
Yeah.
It is an octopus. And Paul joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Paul, thanks for squeezing us into your very busy media schedule. Well, we're doing fine. I'm so happy that you speak English. I wasn't sure.
Of course I speak English. Why wouldn't I?
Well, you're German.
And you're an octopus. That was the other part.
Well, there's that.
Octopuses are citizens of the world.
Okay. Well, listen, for folks who maybe haven't been following soccer, Paul, how is it you make your decisions which team is going to win when you do your predictions?
Well, I'm psychic.
What?
I'm psychic.
You're psychic.
Yes. Psychic. Okay.
Okay.
I simply put my mind to it, and I am able to visualize who will win.
Now, you're 6 for 6. Some of the teams, some of the people that you are choosing against are getting angry. Like Argentina was mad at you because you picked Germany. Germany won. And then all of Germany was mad at when you picked Spain because Spain won. And now you're getting death threats.
Well, I'm not winning or losing the game. I'm just predicting who will be the winner.
What?
Right.
I'm not winning or losing the games myself. I'm just predicting who will be the winner.
Oh, I see.
Yes, there is a new term that, at least it's new to me, revenge grilling is what they're calling the death threats against you. There are fans around the world, and they want to eat you, Paul.
Whoa, let them give them 8 middle fingers.
So what Paul does, and I've seen video of this, is they have a tank that they put mussels in, which is a food, I guess, that you enjoy very much, Paul. And each tank has a flag of the team that's playing in the upcoming game. And then whichever tank you go to select your food from, that's the team that you are picking to win.
Yes, I concentrate on a little game. And then I go and make my choice for food in the week.
Now, what does it feel like when you sit there and you concentrate? Do you see a flag? Do you see goals? How does that work?
I visualize a final score in my head.
Final score, okay.
Okay.
And then I look to see who scored and who. And then I'm able to predict who will be the winner of that particular game.
How did you learn so much about soccer?
Well, I have 8 legs.
Right.
So I was quite good at soccer as a young man.
But I guess you would be, of course.
In the water?
No. In the desert.
I'm saying.
I'm an octopus.
I know, but
where do you think I grew up?
But I'm saying.
You're being mocked by an octopus now.
I know, but I'm saying you can't play soccer in the water. That's what I'm saying.
You can play soccer in the water. No. We use a pearl.
Oh, I see.
Instead of a ball.
I gotcha.
All right, well, you're 6 for 6 so far.
Yes,
I am
a perfect 6 for 6.
Right. Do you have any predictions for the 2 final games this weekend, the third place game between Germany and Uruguay, and then, of course, the final game between Spain and the Netherlands?
Okay, which game do you want first?
Well, let's do the third place game, Uruguay.
Third place game, Uruguay, Germany.
Because Germany's your specialty, right?
I do live now in Germany.
Okay.
So I have a better feel for that team than most teams.
What?
Okay.
I have a better feel for that team than most teams.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
Getting something? I'm getting a prediction.
Getting what?
A prediction.
A prediction.
Prediction.
I predict soccer blows.
What? You can't now say soccer blows after the whole tournament.
So freaking boring.
But wait.
I can't believe I don't even watch that sport.
Right, but you
it's
can't.
It's awful.
Okay. But who will win, though, among the people playing for Germany or Uruguay? Which team will prevail?
All right, 1 second. Concentrating.
Okay.
Getting a picture in my head.
All right, here it comes.
Third place game. Victor.
The winner will be the Miami Heat.
They're not in the World Cup. They play basketball.
I think you're confused. I think you're getting a mixed signal. All right, listen, we're almost out of time, Paul the Octopus. Do you have time to at least predict the Final Fours? Because that's the one that people are really interested in. Now, that's going to be Spain versus the Netherlands on Sunday. What do you think?
All right, let me try to visualize.
All right.
Who will be the winner in the final game of the World Cup? I'm getting a clearer picture.
Okay.
Okay.
Soccer can suck my inkjet.
Okay.
It really sucks.
Very funny man. Let me take that again. A very funny man, comedian Eddie Ift, joins us in studio in about 10 minutes or so. And next hour, we will break down The Decision. Capital D, capital T, the one-hour special with LeBron James last night. That's all coming up in the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, Ralph Garman is here with the showbiz beat. What? This does not sound like good news. What's going on, Ralph?
It's horrible.
Ralph.
What?
It's hard to even say it out loud.
Don't bum us out, dude.
You do nothing but bring us good news. What's this?
It's official. Announced this past Wednesday. The Moorea Beach Club at Mandalay Bay, one of the few adult topless pools in Las Vegas.
Do not say it.
Topless bathing by the women there will no longer be allowed.
I thought that was a trend that was just catching fire.
The pool, which is under new management, now requires women to keep their chests covered at all times after being one of Vegas' top spots to go topless, according to USA Today.
When does this start?
Started Wednesday.
Didn't we have...
So if you're going to Vegas this weekend and you're saying, let's go to Moorea and see all the topless chicks in Mandalay Bay, and yeah, with $50 cover, I don't care, it's worth it. Let's go. You can't this weekend. They will not be topless.
Ain't that not a bitch? God! No! God, please, no!
Nope.
No!
You got nothing.
No!
No topless bathing.
No!
For you,
we had Mayor Oscar Goodman on from Las Vegas when we heard last year, remember, that there was a crackdown from the police. And I don't remember what the response was to that, but I thought that this was universally accepted and it was a private business. They can do what they want. And
they can do what they want, and they're choosing to make girls put their tops back on.
Oh, how's that a choice?
Well,
that should not be one of the choices.
It should
be taken off the board as one of the choices.
There's only a few left now in Vegas. One by one, they're starting to drop. Yeah, you can go to Tao at the Venetian, and the Venus Pool Club at Caesars still allow topless sunbathing, but they're getting fewer and farther between in Vegas.
Which one has the webcam? Remember, one of them has the webcam, were they?
The Hard Rock has a webcam, but
yeah,
that's
not
a topless one.
But
yeah,
that's not topless.
Not topless.
Okay.
No, you just get to see the cool kids rehabbing or whatever.
And don't they give a certain color towel to all the hottest chicks so they're easier to spot out of the way?
Strippers and stuff. And you can control the camera, the whole deal, yeah. But it's not a topless one. It should be, but it isn't.
Yep.
Okay.
Used to be three, now two.
Wow. So, sorry, man.
Wow, way to bring us down.
Sorry, but I got to tell the truth.
You don't?
I got to bring the people the news.
Yeah,
as painful as it may be. Look, you think the guy who reported the Hindenburg wanted to talk about that big dirigible bursting into flames? Do you think he wanted to? No, he had to. He had to bring that to life for the viewers at home, or the listeners at home.
Or whoever.
Whoever it was at home. Somebody was at home.
Fate, really? Well, it's not all bad. At least you got a cherry coke.
Well, apparently they're not giving cherry cokes anymore. At
it is all bad.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Lindsay Lohan's on her own again. Her lawyer just quit. Just as she gears up for a 3-month prison stint, her lawyer says, not so much with you anymore.
I'm out. Do you think it's a problem with paying?
I thought that myself.
I
wondered.
It's usually one of the only reasons a lawyer will ever quit.
She's too low on money. Well, unless she's crazy beyond words and she can't take it.
Come on.
No?
Lawyers?
Yeah.
Really?
Good point.
Shawn Chapman Holly is her name. She has announced to TMZ that she no longer represents Lindsay. Lindsay's got a new lawyer named Tiffany Fetter Cohen, who apparently just got admitted to the California bar in November.
All right.
So, getting the best that money can buy.
She knows all the nuances in court. This is good.
Jessica Alba is talking to Us Weekly Magazine, saying she has announced that she's only going to do smaller movies. None more, in her words, big silly movies where I'm running around in a leotard shooting people.
Well,
Whoa, watch it, honey.
Says she's going to do smaller films where she really gets a chance to act. We are all in big trouble.
Well, we shall see, won't we?
Give it a month.
Here's the thing. Acting, not necessarily a large arrow in her quiver.
Correct.
Yes.
She's got a lot of qualities that I admire.
She has a lot of weapons.
Her skills as an actress, perhaps not the strongest.
Yeah.
So maybe she wants to keep that leotard on and keep shooting those people.
Just be
just
hot.
Recommend it.
That's it. Just be hot.
Just be hot. That's good advice.
That's it.
Linkin Park's going to release a new album this fall. The band's official website says it's called 1,000 Suns, and it's set for release on September the 14th. If you want to download the band's first single, The Catalyst, you can get it from iTunes on August the 2nd. If you don't want to wait for the whole CD, Rick Rubin apparently co-produced the album with Linkin Park's frontman Mike Shinoda again. So, looks like it's a lot to look forward to.
Kevin, you're practically in that band. Have you heard any of the new Linkin Park yet?
I have not heard it, no. I've talked to them about it, but...
Why don't they like you anymore? Why won't they play you any of their music?
As you can imagine, it's all under lock and key, and I'm not the guy that gets to get into the inner sanctum.
You don't give the one copy of the new Linkin Park album to Kevin for the weekend and say, just be careful with it and get it back to us on Monday.
Ends up in his back seat, you never see it again.
I don't leak them, I just lose them.
Avatar's coming back into theaters.
What?
Avatar Special Edition will be back in theaters on August the 27th.
Well, they got to try to make a little bit of money on their investment, Ralph.
I'll make a profit.
How's it different?
Apparently, this new version will include more than 8 minutes of extra footage. 8 minutes. Wow. That's worth the extra $15. speaking of James Cameron, he is re-releasing Titanic as well.
Okay.
This time in 3D. So you get to see Leonardo DiCaprio being the king of the world, just as if he's just jumping right off your own mast. Right there.
People had speculated when The Abyss passed the box office receipts of the Titanic that now
Avatar,
James Cameron was going to... Avatar, excuse me. Now James Cameron was going to figure out a way to put Titanic back on top. To just have his movies just keep going back
himself?
And forth. Yeah, exactly. This is more money.
Do those that they retroactively 3D, are they any good? I mean...
No.
No, generally not.
Because they're
not
shot that way, right?
No. And there's no particular perspective that they shoot it from that would make it anything jump out of the screen at you, you know? Huh. I guess it's just sort of an enhanced viewing experience, but I find it more distracting than anything. Yeah.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Who are you again? You're a guy, I don't know who you are.
How dare you.
And you will not believe who has the top music tour for this, the first half of 2010.
If it starts with Justin and ends with Bieber, I'm going to punch someone right
now. No, he's not even close.
Good.
Yeah, he doesn't even play large enough venues to be on that list.
What musical artist, I think, has the number one tour in 2010 so far? Kevin's going to hate it.
Bean knows. It's got to be old.
I don't know. Bean knows.
I have not read this.
You know everything.
I'm telling you, I don't.
Not to hazard a guess, and you know you've read it already.
Guess. And then he's.
I wrote this article.
You
it says that
right here,
I
written by
it.
Bean Baxter.
So I'm going to throw a guess out only because I know that this artist has sold the most tickets of anyone over the last 10 years.
Springsteen.
Kenny Chesney,
not in the top five.
Ha! Okay. Maybe he's not touring this year, then.
I don't know. It's got to be one of those retro...
Toby Keith?
Not in the top five. No. I just got the top five here, according to Polestar.
Okay. Bon Jovi is my only other guess.
Bon Jovi, number one, Psycho Mike. Bon Jovi has the number one tour in the first half of 2010.
Wow.
So far, the band has grossed $52.8 million in touring.
Unbelievable.
You two would have, right? Had they not quit? Had they performed?
Had they not been hanging at Renaissance fairs trying to pick up fat chicks backstage? Yeah. That's right. Damn Bono, lion. Taking his limo back to the Renaissance fair. Huzzah, with a hookah in one hand, a broadsword in the other.
We had a
bastard.
We had a fat chick call us and tell us that she saw Bono. Well, she was.
Look,
she saw Bono. He was lying.
Got to call a girl, you know
Come
what I'm
on
saying?
Now.
Number two? Who do you think? Number two. You know I love my lists.
Wow, I don't know.
Samwell.
What in the butt tour. Yes. Number two. No, James Taylor and Carole King.
Oh, yeah. That's been very big.
Their Troubadour reunion tour, apparently.
This is 20 years ago, Ralph? When is this?
No, this is now.
I'm sorry, now?
This is right now. Taylor Swift was third. Then Paul McCartney was fourth. And George Strait, country star George Strait, rounding out the 10.
We do not represent a world that anyone cares about.
No, we don't.
Unfortunately.
The biggest grossing show, total show, not just one artist, but show of the year, apparently, was Coachella. Makes sense, right?
Sure.
A lot of people. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Celebrates his 63rd birthday today. As I mentioned, O.J. is getting married to a young lady he met via prison pen pal.
That's an effed up girl.
He's doing 33 years, by the way, for felony armed robbery.
Yeah.
Well, she's pretty safe, then.
So she must be willing to wait. That's nice.
It's been a long time since we've done this, but we have done the phone topic and even had in-studio guests of people who have exactly what you're talking about, fall in love with somebody in prison and in some cases gotten married. Remember we had a lady who was obsessed with the Night Stalker?
Yeah.
For years had a relationship with that dude while he was behind bars. We may need to do that again.
I wonder if the Grim Sleeper's going to get any.
I don't know.
Inside. Just saying. One of the Menendez boys also met
got married. That's right. Yeah, he
that's
sure did.
True. Yeah.
Actor Brian Dennehy is 72 years old today.
Yeah.
Chris Cooper is 59. Jimmy Smits, very talented actor, is 55 years old today. I got a bunch of angry emails, people saying I did not mention that he was, of course, in the Star Wars prequels.
Yes.
Oh, that's which right. I responded, sure those movies are dead to me. They don't exist, so I can't acknowledge them.
All right.
Tom Hanks is 54. Courtney Love celebrates her 46th birthday today. And Fred Savage is 34 years old today. He, of course, from Small Wonder fame. No, what was his show?
Little
Wonder Children.
Years.
Wonder Years. There we go.
Sorry.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Finally Friday. Highlights of last night's The Decision. I still can't say that.
It's a tough word.
I have so much trouble saying The Decision. I don't know why. With LeBron James, his primetime masturbatory session will be reviewed in a few minutes here. Also, Mark and Tom from a band called Blink 182 on the program later on today, and also Adam Carolla with The Week in Rage. Ralph, it's your buddy comedian Eddie Ift joining us in studio here.
Mr. Edward Ift.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Hi, yeah. Edward.
One of the funniest comedians working today, and I mean working. You're usually out there every day doing comedy someplace.
Yeah, you know you're working when you know flight attendants on planes, not from sleeping with them, too.
Do you really? You know
yeah,
names
I know,
and stuff?
I know them. I get on like, hey, it's me again.
Wow.
Eddie is it's a rare Los Angeles appearance. Although he lives in Los Angeles, he's almost always on the road, but he's doing a hometown show at the Hollywood Improv that is going to be tomorrow night at 8. Go to improv.com to see Eddie. Look, you don't have to be on the road 50 weeks a year though, right? You must choose to do it.
Well, I did for a while. I was enjoying it till I snapped in New Zealand and had a panic attack and was like, I got to get out of here.
What happened?
I don't know. I was in the middle of like the mountains. I was like, I'm 7 hours from the nearest airport, 3 hours from the airport from there, 5 hours from that airport, then 15 hours from home. And I was like, I'm in the most remote place in the world.
I could die right now and no one would know forever.
Yeah. And the people looked like the people from Lord of the Rings.
there was
no hope coming from anyone. And I was like, I've got to get away from these elves.
You're kind of odd for an American comedian in the sense that you do a lot of work overseas. You do a lot of traveling around the world doing comedy. And that's kind of unusual for an American comedian.
Yeah. I mean, people always say to me, they're like, do they get you in other countries? And I'm like, yeah, a lot better than they do in Mississippi and Alabama and Kentucky and pretty much half of America. But I just did I did a tour of the Middle East, and it was funny. I did a radio show in Dayton, Ohio, and the guy goes to me, oh, you went to the Middle East? He goes, were you performing for the troops? And I went, no, the terrorists. And he freaks out and goes, you know what? You can get off my show right now.
Really?
You can get out of here right now. And he goes, we just lost a couple. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, we just lost a couple troops and you're making jokes. And I went, who did? And I'm thinking like his family. He goes, Ohio. And I went, well, I've... And he goes, get out!
He didn't recognize that as perhaps a joke on what a stupid question it was?
Sarcasm doesn't work in southern Ohio.
Mm. Yeah.
Huh. Let me write that down. Tip.
how do people know you in places like New Zealand, Eddie? Is it the power of the internet or what?
I do a TV show in Australia. I go over to Australia a lot. I like to surf, and so it's a nice place. If I'm gonna be famous anywhere, I'd prefer. Oh, professional.
Very well done.
Cell phone. You can get out of our studio right now.
Get out of our studio. We just lost a couple phones.
Eddie, this is Steve. You're on the radio. I'm listening to you right now. You're on the Eddie radio, Steve.
You know what I like about that? It's actually proving that AT&T works here.
It does. In the studio.
As Lisa has been promoting all week.
I say that all the time.
So how does a guy? This is fascinating to me. Like Ralph said, it's so unusual to see a guy with a big overseas following. How did you get a job in Australia on television?
It was really weird. I just started, I did the Montreal Comedy Festival, and a guy said, hey, do you want to come to England? And I went, not really, because I had stuff going on here. And I had a TV deal here to do a pilot for my own sitcom. And then they canceled the sitcom, and I called England and said, can I come over?
Just called England in general?
Pretty much. I called the Queen, and the Queen said, we'd love to have you. And I went over and started performing, and then they said, hey, you want to go to Australia? And I went, yeah. And then they said, you want to go to South Africa? And
What's happening with you there?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
It's great.
Yeah, I've done South Africa. That's a scary place. Yeah. One in four people has AIDS there. And I know I was the ignorant American because I was shaking hands with them after the show. And I was like, 1, 2, 3, nope. But like, God, that's like the most dangerous place in the world. They're like, let's have the World Cup where they have the highest murder and rape rates in the world. That was that was terrifying. And then Hong Kong, I've never had diarrhea like that in my life.
Need less of that story, more of others.
Diarrhea is not something you should ever make fun of, I know. But that is the smartest disorder in the world, though, I've realized. The smart, because it knows exactly how far you are from home.
It's able to tell.
And it's like, I'll race you. I have raced, I have lost. That is not a race you want to lose. But they make you eat stuff in Hong Kong. You're like, what is this? It's a half panda bear, half platypus. I shouldn't put that in my body. That's going to cause SARS.
Are they offended if you say no? Chunk. This is nice morning radio stuff.
I get mad at America because nobody cares about any. We're talking about LeBron James. We still have an oil spill. Nobody cares. And I've got the solution for the oil spill.
Right. Oh, good.
The ShamWow.
ShamWow.
Then why didn't they try that?
I know why that would have solved Katrina.
It does soak up everything.
20% its own weight or 25% its own weight.
I would try the ShamWow before I would try tennis balls, whatever it was that one plan was. Let's fill it up with tennis balls. I mean, that was what they came up with.
Khloe Kardashian could probably fit in that little that little hole. Yeah.
This is comedian Eddie Ift on the Kevin and Bean Show in town for a show at the Hollywood Improv tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Hey, real quick before we break and come back with the LeBron talk, because I know you're also a big sports fan. How are the chicks for comics around the world? Do you draw ladies in who are turned on by the funny haha?
I do a lot better than I should.
Do you call it the funny haha?
Probably not. If you're getting ladies, you probably don't call it the funny haha.
You avoid those words, and then that helps.
Well, I just wonder because, man on the road 50 weeks a year, even if he has something steady back home, that's not going to work out very much. I'm just wondering how that goes.
Well, it's funny. My roommate here, I rent out my house when I leave to a comedian named Jim Jeffries, and he's an Australian comedian. And
He had an HBO special.
Yeah. And he's known as like a filthy, filthy guy. And
It's a good choice to sit in your house.
I know. Now I have to put toilet paper on my own toilet seat. And
you're running the black light all over your house to see if there's
it's
essence of Jeffrey has hanging around?
He's always got like Playboy Playmates over and stuff like that. And I'm like, I get nothing. Nothing.
Well, why don't you surprise him and show up? Don't tell him you're coming home and at least once get something.
He gets all the hot ones. I get the
well, chicks dig an
hold
accent.
Hold on. I want to hear what he gets.
I get after cougar.
That's sad.
Mastodon? I don't know. What's the next level?
Retiree?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
Betty White.
I get cougars and rascal scooters.
That's not what you get.
Scooter cougars.
I get people, I'm surprised they know what Facebook is. Like, how do you even know what this is? You can't type.
Right. She was like a coal-powered computer.
But then
at home.
Again, you're not asking her to type. Yeah. Right? I mean,
well, maybe he is.
Mm. All right. A quick break on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll come back more with comedian Eddie Ift. Again, the Improv tomorrow night. Now, Kevin and Ralph had an event last night, so they were not able to watch the LeBron special. Eddie, did you see it?
I was doing a show last night.
So it's going to be new to all of you when you hear how ESPN filled an hour with a show that could have taken 5 seconds, which is, hey, LeBron, where are you playing next year? We'll have those highlights for you when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Right now in studio, our friend Eddie Ift, very, very funny comedian. You can see at the Hollywood Improv on stage tomorrow night. Go to improv.com to get tickets. Eddie, I know you're a big sports fan. You said you did not get a chance to watch the LeBron show last night.
No, I was out.
But you've done sports radio, haven't you?
Yeah. I was doing sports radio in New York and just pissing off all of New York City. Well, I was a Pittsburgh sports fan, and you don't do sports in New York.
Yeah. Ah, yeah. It's so weird, though. I mean, there's been so much said about LeBron James this week. Look, he's a phenomenal basketball player, and any team would be happy to have him. But, players who have come before him, like Michael Jordan and, Kobe Bryant, they've had this decision to make where they've been free agents before, and they've really just released a statement or had a press conference. They didn't really need to be king and have a one-hour-long primetime special like LeBron handled it last night. And to let the team that he's played for 7 years find out on TV, which is what he said last night, that the teams that he wasn't going to hadn't heard it from him yet, to treat Cleveland that way, I understand why that leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. But this show last night was a one-hour primetime special. And, just like American Idol with the finale, Kevin, they've got a lot of time to fill.
59.5 minutes.
They hype everything up. And I'm just going to say, if you're going to do a special with LeBron James, go ahead and pay the extra $200 to get James Earl Jones. Don't get this guy trying to be James Earl Jones.
At stake, the NBA's balance of power. At last.
Doesn't he sound like me trying to be James Earl Jones?
The time has arrived. the most coveted free agent in the history of the game, LeBron James.
I mean, they are treating it like it's the Super Bowl, right? It's really just a guy making announcements. So it's hype, hype, hype. Let's see how flowery we can make this hour.
We are just minutes away from a decision that will reverberate around the league for years to come. Not in the history of the NBA, not even in the history of American sports, has a free agent athlete generated this level of interest, a palpable buzz that has grabbed front and back page headlines everywhere. By the way, rare for one athlete to hold his sport's balance of power in his hands.
So LeBron has cured AIDS, or what's he got going on tonight? It sounds like something really, really big. Yeah. And Stephen Smith, can't they fix his eye at this point? I mean, we have a friend named Doto who got his eye fixed. Why is Stephen A. Smith still on there with the wonky eye every night on ESPN?
You mean Stuart Scott?
Stuart Scott with the wonky eye. What's that about?
Yeah, it's tough to concentrate.
He's checking the producers to find out how much time they have left.
So one of the ways they filled time last night, and I love this so much, is what would LeBron look like if he were wearing the jersey of each of the teams that it has been rumored that he is considering? Let's make a graphic.
So this was ESPN? This was not LeBron?
This was ESPN, okay. Right.
All right, here's what LeBron looks like, rocking various threads. We know this look with the Cavs. Of course, he's going to be number 6 this year, next year. Here's what he'd look like with the Heat jersey.
So they Photoshop him into a Miami Heat jersey and put that on TV so that you can visualize what he'd look like playing for Miami.
So people walking by and not listening go, oh my God, he's going to play with the Knicks or whatever.
Knicks fans are drooling like Pavlov's dog that LeBron puts this jersey on for the next few years. When he was a kid, LeBron cheered for the Bulls, so this is what it would look like.
How is that part of a show to show us him in a uniform? Why don't they just go, here's what he'd look like if he were a police officer. Now here's how he looks as a doctor.
Now I would have watched.
I just can't wait till 10 years from now when people are going, do you remember where you were when LeBron James made his decision?
The decision. It won't be his. It'll be the.
This is like a guy waiting till his wedding night. Waiting till he's on the altar to leave his, fiance.
Yeah,
exactly. Everybody. This is the Bachelor finale is what this is. You're absolutely right. Here's another great time waster, and usually the entertainment shows do this. You know, you watch at Access Hollywood or something, they'll be like, who do you think Cameron Diaz should date? And then they go and ask people on the street who she should. This is what they did last night. They asked people across the country which team LeBron should sign with.
So which team will LeBron James sign with? We ask you, Sports Nation, and it looks like the Heat are your favorite, earning over 40% of the votes.
Now, why, if I'm the home viewer, do I care what people voted in a poll about where LeBron should play? And do I care about that?
I don't know. They asked where he was going to play, and they've already quoted their sources, which are way better than Joe on the Street.
Yeah.
So really,
exactly.
It's completely pointless.
So they keep teasing. Oh, we're looking at LeBron. Look, he's got the headset on. He's coming up any minute. Yes.
Dean, I thought he was going to do the whole hour. Him?
Oh. Yeah, he did an interview, and then he took some questions from the panel after that. But you're 20 minutes in or something before LeBron finally sits down with Jim Gray. Now, let's face it. The world has tuned in because we want the answer to one question, which is, LeBron, you've decided where you're going to play. Please tell us, right? I mean, that's the extent of the show,
that's
right?
That's it, yeah.
How many questions do you think Jim Gray asked before he asked? Let's talk about hyping this up and stretching this out as long as possible. Before he got to where you're going to play, how many questions do you think Jim Gray asked him?
I don't know.
It shouldn't be more than one or two.
The fact that you asked that question means a lot.
I mean, tops, one or two, three at the outside, right? All right, Kevin, get your timer going here, or your ding, or your buzz, or whatever you got. Let's see how many questions Jim lobbed first.
All right, Stuart, thank you very much. Well, everybody is on pins and needles across the country, particularly those teams who are in the running for LeBron James. You ready to go, LeBron? Where's the powder?
Left it at home.
So what's new? What's been going on with you this summer? What have you thought about this process? You weren't able to be recruited because you went straight to the NBA from high school. So have you enjoyed this recruiting process now? What did you expect from this process? How many people know your decision right now? One hand or two hands? When did you decide?
Okay, you think we're done? You think you should be getting to the point by now? No, got plenty more.
So the last time you changed your mind was yesterday? So does the team that you're going to, that you'll announce in a few minutes, do they know your decision? So the other five on pins and needles, they don't know. They'll be listening to this. Who in this process, LeBron, have you taken advice from, and who has had the biggest influence? What was the major factor, the major reason in your decision?
By the way, is there such there is such thing as too much foreplay, right, Lisa? At some point, don't you just say do me?
Yeah.
Right?
Why didn't they just have Alex Trebek interview?
Well, let's see if now we're getting to the point.
How deep of an evaluation do you have to do to go through that to figure out tomorrow, next year, and beyond that equation, that winning? Do you have any doubts about your decision? Would you like to sleep on it a little longer? Or are you ready to make this decision? You still a nail biter?
Okay, that's my favorite, by the way.
What did he say?
Are you still a nail,
Are
you still a nail biter? Was one of his stall questions, because LeBron famously has chewed his fingernails before. Are you still a nail biter is what we're asking instead of, hey, where are you playing?
Seriously, is there a producer doing stretch line behind him?
Stretch, we need 10 more minutes before he says.
God.
We got an hour to film.
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing. The answer to the question everybody wants to know.
Was there an envelope?
What's your decision?
There should have been an envelope, and it should have been, we'll find out who the next American Idol is after the break.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back and hear LeBron's answer. And
then you to hell!
And then we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. A lot of people do not think it was a good decision. A lot of people were not surprised by it, but still don't think that he will go to Miami and win. A lot of people very upset. You saw the people on the TV last night burning their Cavs jerseys, yes. Right? The LeBron jerseys.
Sure.
Yeah. So obviously, Cleveland is very disappointed. And wait till you hear the letter from the majority owner of the Cavs last night, which just turns this into a freaky soap opera with the things that he said about LeBron last night. It's just, it's crazy. We'll take your calls, hear more from the special last night right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Finally, live lightning crashes at 7:41.
About time. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday, minutes away from Mark and Tom from the band Blink 182. Right now in our studio, it's comedian Eddie Ift in town for a rare Southern California appearance at the Melrose Improv in Hollywood. That is going to be tomorrow night. You can go to improv.com to buy those tickets. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 about either LeBron's announcement or about the special last night, where you really tuned in for an hour just to hear this 5 seconds.
And this fall, man, this is very tough. And this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach and join the Miami Heat.
What do you think, Eddie? What do you think about the way the whole thing was handled? Because if LeBron is to be believed last night, even Cleveland, the team he played for 7 years, didn't know until the announcement on television.
I just want to know, did he give the owner of the Miami Heat a rose?
Yeah. They didn't show that if he did.
That's why I would guess that's true, Bean, because that's why the owner of the Cleveland team was lashed out like such
angry.
A baby. Yeah. Like, he really wrote a letter saying, oh, we got stabbed in the back.
As you know, our former hero, who grew up in the very region that he deserted this evening, is no longer a Cleveland Cavalier. This was announced with a several-day narcissistic self-promotional buildup, culminating with a national TV special of his decision, unlike anything ever witnessed in the history of sports and probably in the history of entertainment. He goes on to say, by the way, and this is my favorite part, and how stupid is this for the owner of the Cavaliers? Now, granted, he just doesn't want everybody to cancel their season tickets before next year. I get that he's panicking. I get that his team is worth half of what it was worth yesterday. But how stupid is this sentence? I personally guarantee that the Cleveland Cavaliers will win an NBA championship before the self-titled former king wins one. You can take that to the bank.
Yeah, no.
But everybody knows that. Everybody,
right.
I mean, he could say that, but everybody knows he's full of it, right?
But why would he say that and let that come back to haunt him when Cleveland doesn't ever make the playoffs again?
I don't think it'll come back to haunt him because I think everyone will have forgotten about it by then.
Yeah.
But it is stupid. I mean, it is really just a dumb thing to say.
I said that when Plaxico Burress left the Pittsburgh Steelers and he went to the Giants, I said they will never, ever win a Super Bowl.
And how'd that work out for you?
They won the next year.
The next year, right.
But then Plaxico shot himself in the leg.
So payback.
So LeBron, something might happen.
So you look smarter than Plaxico after that. All right, let's take Joe real quick, who thinks the whole thing's been blown out of proportion anyway. He's
really?
On line two, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joe, how are you, man?
How's it going? Hi,
good.
Man.
Hi.
What'd you think?
I thought it was just way out of proportion, like the whole hour special, the whole in front of the kids in the raggedy gym.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Derek Fisher is going to hold an hour special.
Well, nobody has ever held an hour special before. As we mentioned earlier, even guys like Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, when they became free agents, they just did it the way everybody else does it, which was to, you know, put out a statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me –
I used to not care about LeBron, but I was fascinated by how great he was. Yeah. It makes me hate him.
I like that he did it for the kids. You know, all the money went to charity, the ESPN show. That's kind of like having raising money for like starving kids in Africa by having an eating competition.
It is funny, though, that I mean, he was one of the most respected and loved athletes in America, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And man, has his image taken a hit. It's like, you know, it's like Tiger before and after Thanksgiving. You just can't believe it's the same guy, that it could all happen so fast.
Let's talk to Lionel. Hi, Lionel.
Yeah.
What'd
hey,
you
guys. Point them being, Lisa. I think we can't trust ESPN as a news source anymore because basically they just got bought out by LeBron. And I know, like, you can say that they had to air it because someone else would have, but they didn't have to do it this way. They didn't have to give them a special and type it in 20 minutes or 30 minutes in. They didn't have to, you know.
Don't you think that? Don't you get the feeling, though, that ESPN's been kind of that way for a long time? I mean, really?
What do you mean? What do you mean, Kevin?
I mean,
been that way.
It's like Entertainment Tonight. They have to be nice to all the celebrities because they want to have the celebrities on the show. That kind of thing. ESPN is always kind of kowtowed to the superstars. I don't think they're a. I don't know. They seem like less of a trusted source than say sports writers or somebody in local cities. I don't know why. They just always seem like they've been sellouts for a long time. Am I the only one who thinks that way?
No, I think that their credibility has been shot.
Before
a long
this.
Time ago. Yeah.
But this doesn't help, for sure.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, it's odd. It was an odd night. It was not good television, I'll tell you that. It was not entertaining.
I know. I mean, that's an hour they could have filled with the strongest man competition.
Sure.
I mean, I would rather see guys throwing telephone poles.
That's good programming right there. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. We want to make sure we have plenty of time for the Blink-182 guys when they get in here. But, Eddie, it's been way too long since we've seen you. I'm glad you stopped
by today.
Thanks
for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
And so is this your only North American appearance in 2010?
I'm here. I'm doing two shows tomorrow night, 8 and 10 at the Improv. And then I'm also working with my buddy Jim Jeffries. We're doing the Nokia Theater September 3rd.
Oh, fantastic. So, have fun. Yeah, all right, we'll see you again soon, man. Thanks a lot for coming in. Quick break. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:55.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Friday. The wheels are going off the wagon here today. I don't know what the hell is happening, but thank God we've only got 2 hours till the weekend. Blink-182, Mark and Tom, join us coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
First, before the Showbiz Beat, in keeping with your sports-themed hour,
yes,
we've been talking a lot about LeBron James. I wonder if he'll stop by the ESPY Awards this year. How would you like to find out for yourself? Oh, they won't boom at the ESPYs.
The ESPYs. Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about the worship
stardom
of the,
there.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you'd like to go attend this year's ESPY Awards, which of course is the awards given by ESPN to the biggest stars in all of professional sports, two winners will get a pair of passes to attend at the Nokia Theater LA Live on Wednesday, July the 14th. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Seth Meyers of Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update fame will be hosting. And Phil Jackson, Kobe, the Lakers, they are all on ESPN.com. You can still vote for those guys for their respective awards if you're so inclined. Once again, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers to get through get a pair of passes to attend the ESPYs, which is a tough ticket to get.
Yep.
Although I think there are still a number of tickets available at Ticketmaster if you want to buy some if you can't win them.
So. There are?
So it's not a tough ticket to get at all then?
Well, it is.
If you can buy it, it's not a tough ticket to get.
What if you don't have money?
Well, then it's
tough, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, yeah. All right.
Also, I want to give you the heads up that this weekend is Exotica LA.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
It is the Erotica Expo that happens downtown at the Convention Center every year. It is kicks off today at 11 a.m. It goes today, tomorrow, and Sunday. It's open to the public, of course. You can go to Exotica. What's the website? Exotica LA?
I don't know.
I hear it's a tough website to get to unless you have the internet.
We thought you'd have it.
Well, it's trip. It's E.
Yeah!
EXXXOTICAExpo.com. So it's Exotica.
You got thrilled.
It's Exotica with extra X's. That's what threw me right
All
there.
Right.
But I'm going to be down there. I'm going to do it every year. I go down there and I see what's the latest and greatest in sex toys. And I talked to some of the porn stars. I'll bring you some tape back next week, I promise. It's going to be a good time. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? This is bad.
What's bad?
A man in the UK has named his baby Lady Gaga.
Oh, no.
Really?
The official name is Meggie Maisie Lady Gaga.
Wow.
Meggie Maisie Lady Gaga.
No child needs to be taken away.
Yeah.
Nope.
He named his baby that on the advice of his 4-year-old stepdaughter.
Well, no.
Listen, don't let 4-year-olds name your children, I think, is the moral of that story.
That's a cute idea.
You should name her Lady Gaga. You say, no, you give her the back of your hand, and then you give her a juice box. That's how you settle her down afterwards. But you don't let your 4-year-old name your baby. Apparently, he did so, this is my favorite part of the story, without the mother's knowledge or consent.
What?
He just filled out the paperwork at the hospital after the birth.
That's a good surprise,
right? Mom's not happy with the decision. Dad's standing by it. I see divorce court in their future.
Yeah.
That's all I know. So, congratulations to little Lady Gaga. It was an option for Olivia, you know, before she was born.
Gaga?
We threw around Gaga.
Sure. Yeah.
We decided, no. Beyonce was almost hit by a cab in London. Apparently, she and Jay-Z were there on Tuesday doing a little shopping at the legendary department store Harrods. When she opened the door of her parked car, went to get out, a cab zipped by and took the door off the hinges.
Wow.
Dude, that's a close call.
Oh, my God.
Do you think?
Some good commentary, Bean.
Obviously, she was shaken.
Wow.
But not stirred.
Really, we have to do an all-Ralph edition.
We do. Let's do that Monday.
She was shaken up, but she was not hurt, so she's okay. But it can be very nerve-rattling,
sure.
That experience. That happened to me once.
What?
I was getting out of my car, threw up in the driver's side door. Someone had come around the corner from where I was parked. So I looked in the side view mirror down the street. I didn't see any cars
no
coming.
No one there.
So I thought it was safe to get out. Someone was hauling ass and made a right-hand turn onto the street where I was parked, but I wasn't looking
took
by that
your
point.
Your door off?
Took my door. Bent it all the way forward.
Wow.
Took it and bent the door up against the front driver's side fender. Completely bending it back. I was literally stepping out of the car when they hit it. So, I mean, I was that close, and I know how Beyonce must feel.
I was inches away from getting hit by that train in Norway, remember?
Oh, yeah.
Clipped my mirror on my rental car. It was so close.
This is not going to surprise anyone, but Miss Cleo says she took a door off in Vegas.
We have to do something about her.
I'm sure it means she was driving, and she did it, because she's a very bad driver.
Yes, she is.
Very.
Thank you, Mike.
Brian of Austin Green's life just keeps getting better.
Better.
Thank you, Mike.
Not only is he the new husband of Megan Fox, that was something we missed during the vacation.
Yeah.
The Megan Fox, Brian Austin Green
just
wedding.
Well.
We're just hoping that would just blow over and not happen.
But apparently he is very close to signing a new gig with ABC. Of course, they've got the hit series Desperate Housewives, and he is negotiating currently to play a role of a contractor named Keith, who becomes a love interest for one of the housewives, and I'm guessing likes to hammer without his shirt on.
Like they do on that show.
Like they do on that show. They do a lot of work without a shirt on that show. Yeah.
Look, I don't know how many job offers Mr. Green is getting, but doesn't it seem like a bad time to be joining Desperate Housewives? Isn't that show like 3 years past its prime?
Yeah, it still does pretty well in the ratings.
Yeah, I don't know.
A gig. It's not like he's turning down work. I don't think he can afford
to. He doesn't need to work because he didn't for so many years. It seemed like he didn't work at all until fairly recently. He was doing nothing.
Well, that's not true because I remember seeing him behind the counter at Arby's. I went in for a roast beef sandwich. He was
then I was misinformed.
Yeah, so he was working.
Taking your order or making it?
He was taking it.
Taking it.
Yeah. And Lindsay Lohan. Bad news for Lindsay. She has just lost her lawyer. Her lawyer has quit on her. According to TMZ.com, they went to call her to get confirmation on one of the stories surrounding Lindsay's case. And Sean Chapman Holly announced that she was no longer representing the actress.
Seems bad, right?
Yeah, especially since she was literally representing her hours before she quit. She released a statement just hours before she quit saying that Lindsay's jail sentence was unfair. I love it how everyone's claiming this is unfair.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
It's obviously within the realm of what the judge can sentence her to.
Don't you get the idea that any of us would have been in jail for a year by now?
She's only going to do a quarter of the time that she's been
committed to serve, so it's not like, you know, not literally going to do 90
days. It's only unfair in that it took this long to put her in jail.
Yeah, given the streak that she's gone through, given the number of crimes she's committed and the way she's flaunted sort of her behavior in the court's face, I'm surprised.
That's unfair.
It hasn't happened sooner. Anyway, she has quit, and Lindsay has a new lawyer named Tiffany Fetter Cohen. By the way, you don't want your lawyer's name to be Tiffany. Tiffany is a girl you want to stuff dollars into her G-string.
That's true.
Or bring you cocktails by the pool in Vegas. But you don't want your lawyer to be Tiffany.
Maybe she doesn't need a lawyer anymore now that she's going to jail and looking for some companionship.
Tiffany Fetter Cohen is her lawyer, and according to TMZ, just passed the bar here in California in November. So she's already got all the qualifications to be one of Lindsay's lawyers.
It's a good choice.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthdays. Happy birthday to O.J. Simpson. He is 63 years old today.
That story you said earlier about him getting married, that's false.
It is absolutely true. He is marrying a prison pen pal that he's never actually met. He's been pen pals with a woman who goes by the name of Anna. Anna? And he has seen her picture. She sent him several pictures of her.
Yeah.
But he's never actually met her face-to-face. However, he says he is very much in love. And now the two are making plans to get married.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true. Or not. Brian Dennehy is 72 years old today. Chris Cooper is 59. Jimmy Smits turns 55 years old today. Tom Hanks turns 54. Courtney Love celebrates her 46th birthday. Who'd have thunk it? Yeah. She would have got to 46. And Fred Savage of Wonder Years fame is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Yeah, my girlfriend takes me home and I'm too drunk to try. Cause when I'm with you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. They say I should act my age. What's my age again? I couldn't wait till I got home to pass the time in my room alone. Use me, Ollie. Come on and use me.
We know where we go.
All the small things. It's happened once again. I'll turn to a friend.
Be real short this time. Your smile fades in the summer.
Sunday, September the 26th, day number two of the Epicenter 2010 concert. It's going to be the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. A little band called Blink-182 is making their only North American concert appearance of 2010. Mark and Tom from the band, ladies and gentlemen, joining us in the studio. On the Kevin and Bean Show right now, how lazy a band are you with one concert in the whole continent in a year?
We just want to get it right. We want to do it right. It takes quite a lot of rehearsal.
You're working on a new album, right? Is that,
yes.
Let's take it up your time.
We have officially started the new Blink-182 album, and it is really exciting. We have a few. I mean, we got this show. We're also going to Europe, so there's a few things that are happening during the. So we're a little clustered right now. I'm busy, but it has started.
So how far are you into it? Like 5%, 25%?
You know, it's hard to say that because these days we started on that last record we did. We work a long period of time on it to try and get it right. So I'm thinking like we're about 80% done.
Which will translate to 20?
Yeah.
And when you throw some of them out and stuff like that?
Yeah. You know, so, no, this is exciting. No, this is a really exciting time for us. So we have a lot. The band, you know, since we got back together, it's like it's such a larger force than it's ever been. So it's really exciting.
Is that amazing? I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Because for folks who haven't followed the chronology of the thing, Blink-182 was together for a long time, right? 15 years or something like that before took the hiatus. And then you were gone, and then for whatever reason, people didn't forget about you. It got bigger and bigger the longer you were gone. And when you came back, I mean, it's been aces since then.
Yeah.
And I also thought since the minute you decided to get back together, and we saw that announcement when you came out on the Grammys and stuff like that, every single day of your life, maybe every single hour, people have said, when is there going to be a new Blink song? That must be the most frustrating part about the whole thing.
Nah, not at all. That's the most ingratiating part about the whole thing is that even after all this time, people are still wanting to hear music from us and –
Why don't you put one out then?
Because the thing is,
we get bigger.
I wanted to bring a song this morning just to play. But the thing is now that everybody wants to hear, like, you know, whatever we do now, it just has to be great. The first thing we have to do has to be really great. Whereas before, you could like throw a song into a live set or kind of work a new song in or whatever. But now with all this pressure, we just got to be like the song.
Years ago when we're just gonna
Axl Rose it, aren't you?
No.
The Chinese Democracy 20 years from now, you're gonna go, it's got to be right.
I know.
No, actually, I think it'd be fun to just put out something fast and fun and silly and whatever, and then have that be the first song.
Break the ice.
Take the pressure off. Yeah. You know.
First time you
you should
go,
make a bad on purpose. You should make a bad on purpose.
We, you know, what's funny is
that's what our first four records were. Just breaking our band down.
Done.
You know?
Yeah.
You
got that.
No, I was just thinking what was funny is like what Mark was saying when we had our first big record on Enema of the State when we were much younger. The follow up to that, all the record label guys came in. Remember when all we did was we played them three acoustic songs? We've been recording for months this follow up record, so there's so much pressure. And so we sat them down and we played them three acoustic songs that were recorded as though that's what we've been working on for 9 months.
And that's all you had?
And one was about having sex with your mom. One was having sex with Hitler. One was having sex with dogs. And literally their faces dropped. Like, they were like stunned. Like, you know. And they were all, you know, we were serious about it. You know, we actually.
Wait, what? You were serious about
well,
it?
Well, we wanted them on the albums and we had to do a big deal where only one song could go on a certain pressing. You know?
That's hilarious.
Can you play one of those songs?
Well, you know what's funny? You know what? This is a good story for the K-Rock listeners. So actually, so the song about having sex with Hitler,
that
I remember,
one you should play.
I told, at the time, Smitty, our tour manager, was working with Pearl Jam, or he still is, actually. And so I was hanging out with Stone, the guitar player of Pearl Jam, and I remember I told him about this song. I woke up one day, and it was an answering machine message from him just saying, "Hey, Tom, this is Stone. Well, I was just talking, and we don't think you should have a song about Hitler on your record." You know, so we eventually changed it to
having sex with your grandpa, well, which is a lot.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's a lot more tame.
Yeah,
a lot more tame.
That's acceptable.
Yeah.
I think, right? Somehow, it's way better than Hitler.
You know, that it's you know, this kind of strategic thinking has really made our band sure. a great career.
let me ask you guys this question. And when you were telling the story about taking the music and having to hear what the label thinks about it, I mean, the same thing happened to Big Boy, who's got that record that just came out this week that I really, really like. And the label said, "We don't even want to release this because we don't know what to do with it because it didn't fit our perception." This is the guy from Outkast who's got a solo record. Didn't fit our perception of what it should be. At this point in the world in 2010, do you even need to run anything by anybody? Can't you put whatever you went out yourself and do it exactly your way?
I think so. I guess it depends on how much the label invests in it. But as an artist, if you're established, it's weird. I think with technology and the way the world, I think you can kind of do whatever you want these days. People are making gigantic splashes on the internet by and just doing it themselves. So
I think that's a good thing that you don't necessarily, like, as a label, I'd be excited. Like, this is something that we didn't expect from you. This is something new and something. And that album, from what I've heard, I've heard a few songs. I bought it last night, and it seems great.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I'd be excited about that. I'd be like, wow, this is something different and fresh. Let's try something new with this. But I think that a lot of labels are kind of like
labels
stuck
don't
in that
want
headspace.
They don't really want surprises. They don't want curveballs.
So what is your status? You guys have a record label, and is it your same label as before, or you're doing it more yourself this time, or what's the deal this time around?
We are still on Interscope Records.
You are?
Okay.
Yes, we are.
And they're being good to you. You're happy with them so far.
Yeah, I mean,
because we're prepared to offer you a new deal right here today.
Well, the whole record industry is it's quite different these days. You have all the distribution is totally different. You have the labels don't have as much money as before, so they don't really have as many resources.
They can't lavish us with gifts and ridiculous requests.
Which actually happened for quite a while.
Yeah, they really let us fly.
It's funny. I mean, because literally there was one very specific day where we got a call from our manager. He's like, "You know what? They're not really going to pay for the private planes anymore." And I remember we were like,
outrageous.
This is
travesty.
Unbelievable.
We got to take a break. We have plenty more conversation to have from Mark and Tom from the band called Blink 182. Maybe you've heard of them. They're going to be playing Sunday, September 26th. And by the way, this Epicenter 2010 is a crazy-ass weekend out there in Fonteki. I mean, it's unbelievable. Eminem, Kiss, Bush, B.O.B., Papa Roach, Travis, I guess, is doing his own set on Saturday, right? The Travis Barker is going to be doing his own thing out there. In addition to playing with Blink on Sunday, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, so much more. We'll talk more with the guys right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
About something new from that band, huh?
Yeah,
it's what the hell are they doing?
K-Rock Road Trip USA, stop number one is the band Phoenix at Lollapalooza in Chicago. You qualify to win see that by getting a ticket.
Hey!
Back
and now, a moment with Kevin.
Qualify with tickets to see Phoenix at the Hollywood Bowl, plus you could win a brand new car.
They're headlining Madison Square Garden.
Phoenix is.
Phoenix is headlining Madison Square Garden.
Amazing.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 827. Phoenix at Coachella had one of the biggest.
But what did what about crowds? Justin Bieber? What did he do?
Well, that I don't know.
That's
way to
just
bring
what
the
about
whole
him?
Show
you guys want to talk about all these other men? What about him?
What about Justin? Where's Justin Bieber's love? That's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. All right, listen. Mark and Tom are in studio from Blink 182. It's the Mark, Tom, and Travis show. Travis not included here on the Kevin DeBean program today. We're talking about Epicenter 2010, which is two big nights in September, September the 25th and 26th. First night, by the way, has got your Eminem. Mm-hmm. Also your Kiss. Ladies and gentlemen, please tell me you guys are in the Kiss Army like I am, and you're so psyched about that.
I wear the pants.
I love the Kiss. I love. I've seen them many times.
I just remember, you know, I just remember when they really got, they started coming back pretty strong a few years back, and Gene Simmons mm-hmm. in the pants and everything. That's all. That's the only image I have in my head.
the first show back together in makeup before they did the homecoming show in Detroit was at the Weenie Roast. So we had a chance to kind of see that first thing, and it was just it was a dream come true to see those guys back together. And I think you guys should put the makeup back on.
Wait though. Tell the best part of the story.
Yeah.
Well, Kevin's favorite part of the story is that the pyrotechnics weren't exactly 100% worked out on that early date, and my wife's hair caught on fire.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
How's that not the best part of the story?
Oh, my God. Well, it wasn't as much fun for us as it was for you,
but
Kevin.
Now,
that's
looking
why.
Back on it, your wife's hair caught on fire.
That's looking back, it was fairly memorable.
Awesome.
Wow. And then on the Sunday night, Blink 182, their only North American appearance of 2010, along with Rise Against, another phenomenal live band. 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion, Data Remembers, Suicidal Tendencies. It goes on and on and on. Speaking of Blink and your crazy fans,
yeah,
you've probably met a lot of fans over the years with Blink tattoos. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes.
One's named Tom.
I have one. I was probably the first one to have it, and then everyone else copied it.
We've got Katie, who, if I understand her email correctly, is getting hers today. So I thought this might be a good opportunity to bring y'all together. Hey, Katie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi. Thank you. I'm good. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Well, hi. This is exciting, Katie. This is quite an honor that you're doing that. That's amazing.
It feels a little serendipitous, I have to say, that you're on the radio today.
Oh, that's a big word.
All right. So let me set
me. I don't know. What that means. I thought about that too. It was a big word.
let me set. That's an ice cream place in New York. You know that, Kevin. Right. Let me set this up for you.
That was a great movie.
Katie's email says that she has seen Blink 182 30 times in concert. Is that right, Katie? Or are you exaggerating for effect?
No. It has literally been 30 times.
What was the first Blink show you ever saw?
At the Weenie Roast in 1998.
Oh, K-Rock history all over the place.
Yeah.
I'd like to suggest that I love Blink 182, but 30 times might be too many.
You know what?
I mean?
Trust me, I'm just scared that she's going to say we haven't gotten better. That's the only thing I'm scared of.
All right, so 30 times in concert. Today's the day before your 30th birthday. You already have Epicenter tickets to see them in September, but you say that you are going to get a Blink 182 tattoo today, and we are dying to know what the plans are. What are you going to get?
I am going to get This Is Growing Up on my wrist.
Oh, wow. I wrote that.
That's sophisticated.
I wrote that. That was me. I wrote that.
Wow. That's good.
You know it's going to be
there
forever.
Thank you. It is going to be there forever. And I'm going to be growing up forever.
True.
I love
that. Time-space continuum.
You wrote a timeless sentence.
I'm telling you, when I hear stories like this, it just reaffirms my belief that this band is like an orgasm. You can't have too much of it. You know what I'm saying? This is great, Katie. This is awesome. And Mark, you should have a Blink tattoo as well. I have two of them.
Wait, you don't, Mark?
No.
Well,
I don't know. I spent 5 years hating this guy. You think I'm going to have my body forever?
Oh! Well,
Mark,
I have.
You're welcome to come. I'm going to be there at 4 o'clock today. You're welcome to join me.
There you go. Mark will be there.
4 o'clock?
Yeah.
Mark, you're the lightest of the ink in the band, right? How many do you have?
I just have two. I only have two tattoos.
Because I know a lot of times yours don't even show. So
yeah,
they're like
very
on
private person.
And then his penis there.
They're on his front hip in the center of his back and the lower part.
Yeah, I got a sunshine. Stamp. Yeah, little flower on the back of my back.
It's nice.
Katie, have a great time at Epicenter.
Katie, thank you very much for getting a tattoo. That's awesome, and I hope that you love your tattoo forever.
I will, and thank you for being you guys. You're amazing.
Hey, thanks for being you.
This is beautiful.
It's a love fest.
If you want to talk to Mark and Tom from Blink 182, we're going to throw the phones open right now at 1-800-520-1067. Now, I understand for the best calls, not for everybody, Kevin, but for the best calls, we can hook them up with Epicenter 2010 tickets, right?
Yes, we can.
Yep. Okay, so you got to be good. Don't say, hey, do you have any new music? Because that's been covered. But if you got something else for the guys, call now 1-800-520-1067. We'll return with Mark and Tom from Blink 182 right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. I know those guys. Hey, Mark and Tom from Blink 182 are in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Week in Rage with our friend Adam Carolla coming up in about 20 minutes or so right now. First, though, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have any questions for the band. How are we going to do this with the tickets, Kevin? Because I know we have limited number to give away. They are still on sale for Epicenter 2010.
I say we'd give away to the best the first three good ones. I mean, if it's not a good one,
first
we'll
three
move
good
on.
Ones.
Yeah,
okay.
First three good ones.
Why don't we start with Svetlana, which I'm sure I said that wrong. She's on line 7, and she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Svetlana.
Hi.
Or Svetlana.
Svetlana.
Is it Svetlana?
Yes, it's Svetlana.
All right.
Yeah, you got to change that. You're on with Mark and Tom. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask you guys. You guys all have kids now. Have they showed any interest in music or anything? Or have they seen any of your videos where you guys run around naked?
Both of those things are true. And you know what I think was really interesting? There's two when a child is born, there's two things that they instinctively know, and one is to latch on and eat, and the other one is they bob their head to music. It's actually pretty interesting. I've noticed that in lots of babies because I stare at other people's babies. And
all right.
But my daughter is now realizing some of the dialect that Blink has been using on
excellent
stage,
good,
and in the old videos,
and it's not like you can hide that at this point.
No, you cannot. And you must.
So, I'm raising my kids Amish.
Are you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
But, no buttons, no snaps,
no clothes,
no snaps,
no
clothes,
snaps.
No electronics.
That is something that
that is something that has to occur to you though at some point. Is they're going to be old enough to see everything and anything that you've ever done? So I guess that's just a conversation you're just going to have to put on the back burner until
I know
happens.
It's so crazy with our band though, because they're really the first. You guys have to realize that when we came out in the first few years, we were touring and we were saying some really, really bad stuff on stage. And to us, it wasn't that bad because we were touring with bands like Guttermouth and these other punk bands that were actually doing physically dangerous things to their bodies on stage.
Right.
So we would say things that we actually thought, like, you know, they were funny. Mark and I would just entertain each other. People started watching that. Like, so we kind of just, we came from a group or a scene of people in the music industry that kind of stuff was normal. But, now, as the real world has
changed the real world.
Yeah, it's like we're realizing it wasn't that normal, you know. But, you know, we learned a great deal since then.
I'm just denying the whole thing.
It's just not me?
Yeah.
You just
told me
it's not me?
It totally wasn't me.
Do you want to know something? I mean, for real. Yeah, I was talking about this story the other day, and this is a Mark Hoppe story.
Don't tell him.
Yes, please.
No, this is just super funny. This is a. We don't want to hear it. No, you are so scared of what I'm going to say. There's just some really. That we had a lot of fun.
Right.
I mean, Mark has been. Mark. This guy here has actually, he is exactly who people would think we were back in the day. And I think one of the reasons why the band got so popular is that in all the jokes and pranks, we really lived that kind of life. And it was so funny. And so we had a reunion with a bunch of our friends a couple weeks ago. Actually, I did. Mark didn't, because he lives up here in Los Angeles. And I was going over all these famous stories. But I guess I won't get into them now because I built it up so
much. You have to now.
No. But I'm just saying, okay, for what our kids are going to see of us and what the kids think of the band or whatever, I think it's been a great run in the sense of where we really, I think, were like the your neighbors that got a lucky break. And I think it gave a lot of kids the idea that they could do it too. And
we can say pee-pee poo-poo and get famous?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call, Svetlana. We will give her tickets.
Yeah, right? I'm going to suggest we give her tickets because she's hot. Right?
Okay,
Svetlana.
She probably
hot.
Is.
Yeah.
She's
Russian. Yeah.
Although I hear she's dating Mel Gibson, and I'm a little bit worried about that. Let's try Jesus. I think he's got an outstanding question, frankly, that may be of only interest to me. But let's see what Mark and Tom think. Jesus, hi, you're on the air with the guys. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Mark and Tom. You guys have always made interesting, nice, funny songs. I'm wondering if you would ever make a song with Weird Al.
Yes, I would absolutely write a song with Weird Al.
Now, Weird Al takes other people's and mocks them, though. You mean you do an original with them?
We would help him mock us. That's what we would do.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. And I've heard from everyone from Eminem on down that that is the mark of really making it in the business when Weird Al selects you as the target.
I would entirely think that that's true, and I'm a little bummed that, you know, we didn't ever reach that plateau. I mean, you know.
You got a new album coming out.
True.
Yeah.
So this new song that comes out in 2030.
All right. It's a Weird Al question. Does he get tickets too?
I think he gets, just because who would have thought of a Weird Al question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Jesus, you are in. Congratulations. Thank you. Let's try, how about Billy? This is an interesting question. On line two for Mark and Tom from the band Blink-182, playing Sunday, September 26th at Epicenter 2010. Tickets are on sale now for both big nights that weekend in Fontucky. Hi, Billy. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Tom. I was just curious, what's the best or funniest advice that you guys ever got when you were starting out as a band?
The best what?
The best or funniest advice.
Well, I can think of I can think of a moment that I really I'll take it as advice. But we were in Australia playing with Foo Fighters on Big Day Out Festival there, and we were hanging out backstage talking with Dave Grohl, and we were talking about how we wanted to go somewhere, like we couldn't afford to do something, and Dave's like, well, why don't you just fly there, or why don't you just have like fly your girlfriend out here, or whatever it was that we were complaining about. We're like, oh, sorry, we're not rich and famous like you. We don't have like Nirvana money. And he's like, you know, guys, I just hope to God that one day you're as rich and famous as I am, because it's awesome. And I always thought that was such a rad attitude.
He's the best.
That I really wanted to emulate that.
And
so,
now you are.
I don't think I'm anywhere close to Dave.
Until they got the Jets taken away, then they were. Yeah, exactly. All right, excellent question, Billy. Hang on, we'll give you tickets for Epicenter 2010 as well. By the way, we haven't mentioned, I know we're almost completely out of time. Mark, you're taking on a part-time job. It's not a paper route, it's a TV show?
It's a TV show. They did a bunch of focus groups, and they figured out that the one thing lacking on TV was a lot of me, so they gave me my own TV show.
What do you do?
Are you going to tell us anything about it?
Oh,
or is
yeah.
That it?
Yeah. I thought you guys knew. I just assume that everyone out there knows everything that I'm doing all the time. I have a music talk show on Fuse, and it's once a week and starts in September. And we're going to have bands play and interview bands and everything about music.
It's called The Different Spin.
It's called The Different Spin with Mark Hoppus. They wouldn't just call it Mark Hoppus Show.
They should have.
They should have.
But no.
I lobbied hard for that. But no, it's called A Different Spin, and I'm really excited about doing it. It's going to be really cool because I get to play in Blink and do this TV show and have music as everything that I do all day long.
Now, will these be artists that you personally like, and that's why you're having them on the show, or are you not going to know until you show up that you got to interview Toby Keith?
No. You'll know which bands I dig and which bands I don't dig, because I said if I don't personally like the band, then somebody else has to interview them. So
I like it.
Yeah. Don't tell anybody, though.
Okay.
That I said that.
All right. We won't.
But yeah, if I don't
just
interview the band, it means I hate them all as people.
Now, you said September?
Yeah, September.
Do we know night?
We don't know which night. They're going to figure out. I think they're going to wait and watch the first few shows and then figure out. So
make sure they want to run it?
Yeah, if it's like Wednesday mornings at like 10:30.
That'll say a lot about the quality of your interviewing skills.
Yeah.
All right, so you mentioned when you sat down, guys, that it has been an unbelievably exciting and rewarding year. I don't think you said it in those words, but that was the gist I got, is that it's great to be in Blink-182 right now. You're hard at work on the new record. Without putting too firm a date on it, I mean, are we thinking probably not by Christmas, I would imagine, but next year? What do you think?
I think that if we
could you finish it by Sunday?
We're going to try and finish it by Sunday. No, I think what we're trying to hope to have happen is finish it by the end of the year, if not shortly thereafter. So we can. It would be great to have a record out spring, summer kind of thing.
Okay,
and
that's cool.
And that's what we're thinking.
We just want to write a good record, but as soon as that's done, it's going to be out.
We just want to be awesome.
We want to be awesome.
You just want to be awesome.
Although,
I don't think that's
asking
too much.
What, like six songs constitutes an album now, right?
That's true. You put out a double album with 12. That's all you need.
Well, it's always a thrill for us to have you guys stop by.
It really is.
You know, it is a thrill for us. You know that, right? And we've been loving on you for a long time, so we're super psyched to have you back and super psyched to be having you play this Epicenter 2010 show, because it's an unbelievable lineup all weekend long. I think it's going to be big fun, and we can't wait to catch up with you again soon, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for actually, we were just talking in the other room about, like, we've been friends with you guys for more than a decade now, and it's always
best friends, to come in
and hang out with you guys.
Best friends.
I wouldn't go best friends.
Okay, fair enough.
Adam Carolla coming right up on the Kevin and Bean Show with This Week in Rage. Right now, the Ace Man's former roommate, Ralph Garman, is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah. Former housemate. We didn't share a room.
Come on. You shared a
like
bed.
That or anything.
Shared a bed.
I think people who live in a house, I think the expression is still their roommates, isn't it?
I don't know, man. I just don't want any misconstrued.
What?
Former bedmate, Ralph Garman, is here with the Showbiz
Beat. That's better. A lot to do this weekend. I wanted to give you a heads up. If you were looking for something to do, there's many, many choices. We got the Crazy for Cult show that opens tonight at Gallery 1988 on Melrose Avenue.
This sounds like art for people like me that doesn't like art.
Exactly what this is. It is artists from all different walks of art, all different kinds of artists, from sculpture to painting to sketches. and it is all dedicated to their favorite cult films. So you get like a lot of films of Kevin Smith. In fact, Kevin and his buddy Scott Mosier will be hosting the event, which opens tonight. But you get one of my favorites from last year's, or maybe it was the year before, was from Highlander. You ever see a movie with Christopher Lambert and Sean Connery? And it's like Sean Connery giving Christopher Lambert a piggyback ride, you know, and they're all dressed up. It's just wacky art that's very fun, all dedicated to your favorite cult movies from the past 30 years or so. So if you want to check it out, it's a great event at Gallery 1988, as I mentioned, on Melrose Avenue here in Los Angeles at Melrose and La Brea. And also this weekend is the Exotica Expo, which is basically porn stars and sex toys and all kinds of good things like that.
For a full weekend?
Opens today as well, all the way through Sunday. If you're an adult film aficionado, like I am, this is an amazing event because you see so many porn stars in one place. And they're there just signing autographs and taking photos and stuff like that. And you also get the latest and greatest in sex toys and novelties and all kinds of fun stuff. So it's exoticaexpo.com, which I think works because I tried it here on our computers at the station, but I can't
get to it because
I'm blocked.
Because
the bosses here think we're all children.
Correct.
And we can't use a computer. So they have to just give us access to the Disney site, and then that's it.
So Exotic with one X, or I thought you said three?
Either works, I believe. ExoticaExpo.com works, or Exotica triple X in the Exotica Expo. .com also works.
All right.
So there you go. There's your lineup for the weekend. Plenty of stuff to do. All right? So go out and do it.
Plus World Cup Saturday.
Do it live. No.
Third place game Sunday. Instead, go do
something fun.
All right.
O.J. Simpson's getting married.
That is not happening.
He is marrying a prison pen pal that, according to this story, he has never met.
White woman?
It doesn't say.
But she's blonde.
He's got a type.
Her name is Anna. And she has fallen madly in love with him. And
I'm so the juice. Whatever that is.
She has
trying to be a good guy.
Sent him a bunch of letters and some photos, and they have fallen in love, and now they want to be married.
Those of you that think you have a decent job and a decent personality and don't have anyone, I would like to point out that
how depressing is that?
O.J. Simpson killed a woman and is getting married.
He didn't kill every woman he ever dated. He killed one. That really pissed him off. What do you think the odds are? He's not going to just kill every girl. He's not the Grim Sleeper, for God's sake. He's just a guy who had a little bit of an anger issue one night.
A little bit.
It's not like he's killing all the broads.
That you know of.
He's not Mel Gibson, for God's sake.
I'm saying
he's a bad guy, but he's not Mel Gibson.
Kevin wants to paint everyone with a pretty broad brush. That's what you're saying,
right? I'm telling you. Come on.
Everybody gets one gimme, right?
You murder two people. Suddenly you're a murderer.
He's getting married.
Now, I hate to ask any kind of follow-up question because I know that you...
Don't.
You
take this opportunity not to.
I have to know because there have been cases of people who marry while prisoners because you are only allowed conjugal visits if you are married.
Yeah.
Right. Is there a possibility that maybe that's a factor here?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in OJ's mind other than homicidal rage.
Other
parts. I have no idea what's going on with him. I'm just finding it interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to go to Blobfest?
Sorry, what?
I don't think
it's
so.
Blobfest.
I don't know what Blobfest is.
Come on, Kevin. It's Blobfest. Have you never seen the classic horror movie from 1958, The Blob?
No.
Starring Steve McQueen?
No, I have not.
Well, you know, every year in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, they have the Blobfest, where they all go to the theater that is, it was shot in The Blob, where The Blob attacks that particular theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was shot in this town. And so they all go into the theater, and at a certain time, they all go run screaming from the theater as if the blob's attacking them. Sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Nope.
Then they have a big parade where they all have fire extinguishers, and they blast them off because in the movie, that's what kills the blob is fire extinguishers. And they have a parade with people with fire extinguishers.
Okay, and this movie was when?
1958. Come on, Kevin, you know.
I own it on DVD.
Fine, but are you out there with the...
Let's all go to Blobfest.
Let's not.
Come on.
Let's move on.
Doesn't that sound like a good time?
No!
I seem to remember the pictures from previous years, Ralph. Don't they actually create some sort of blob material that they just spread all over the streets and everything to kind of look like the blob when it attacked the theater?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They use a clear liquid silicone.
Yeah.
And they all roll around in the blob.
No.
I love the theme from the Blob movie, too.
Shut
it's always
up.
A great song. Written by the great Burt Bacharach.
Oh, God. No, 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 no.
One of his early hits.
I was being facetious about this, all this Blob stuff. I had no idea Bean had an actual passion for the Blob.
You should have known that. How do you not know that?
Anything bad I should have known he would love.
I want to go to Blob Fest this weekend.
Who really? Who's doing a Blob Fest for a 1958 movie?
That's my point.
Like Lebowski Fest, you can understand, because Big Lebowski is sort of a semi-current movie, and there's a lot of things about that film that you can actually enjoy, including White Russians and bowling. But the Blob Fest, just to sit in a theater where there was a movie shot once in 1958, I don't get it.
It's in the herd, man.
I own it on DVD.
I do have that movie. I'm a big fan.
I'd like to go.
And Lincoln, says the guy who hates to travel.
Linkin Park is releasing a new album this fall. The band's official website today says it will be entitled A Thousand Suns and is set for release on September the 14th. You'll be able to download the first single, The Catalyst, from iTunes on August the 2nd. This is another co-production between Mike Shinoda and Rick Rubin, who, of course, shared those duties on their 2007 release, Minutes to Midnight. So every reason to expect this will be a big, 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 big hit for LP.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah, sure. That's what I call him.
Rick Rubin has the magic touch, doesn't he?
He can produce any artist in any genre of music and get the best work out of them. It is remarkable.
I think it was a couple years ago, he produced 4 out of the 5 Best Album Grammy nominees that year. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the track record he has.
Best producer ever?
Yeah.
You think?
No question. He's got to be on the shortlist.
You certainly make an argument. Best producer ever not to murder a woman in his own home.
I was thinking the same thing.
I have to put him up on that category as well. Less murderous than Phil Spector, I find him. Today's celebrity birthdays, O.J., the guy we were just talking about getting married. He's 63 years old today.
Yeah.
Actor Brian Dennehy is 72. You ever see Silverado, one of my favorite westerns, Silverado?
No.
He plays the sheriff of the town of Silverado.
Is he fat?
He is bad. He is fat and bad. And he's got a badge. They should put that on the poster. He's fat, bad, and has a badge.
Just like First Blood.
That's right. Oh, First Blood. He was the sheriff in that,
fat,
too.
Had a badge.
Fat and had a badge.
Fatty.
Chris Cooper is 59 years old. We had a late night last night. Kevin and I were playing poker until the wee hours, and so I'm not as sharp as I would like to be.
You know what's funny about that is we got knocked out of the tournament we were in by 7.
Yeah. And yes.
But there's a casino there.
There's a casino right there.
What are you going to do? You can't just leave.
For those of you here in Southern California who haven't been to San Manuel Indian Bingo and Casino, it's a casino.
Yeah, that's the noise when you walk in.
Sure. It's a casino. It's a full-blown Vegas-style casino right there in the middle of the desert.
And you couldn't leave because you still had money in your pocket.
Yeah, that's you correct. Can't leave. So we played some cards until wee hours, and now we're paying the price. Jimmy Smits is 55 years old today. Tom Hanks is 54. Courtney Love turns 46 years old today. Fred Savage is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
The unbelievable psychic octopus, who is 6 for 6 in predicting World Cup results, has released his information on the final. Held a press conference today. Apparently he's going to the Heat also. I'm not sure. But anyway, we'll find out who he says will win the World Cup coming up in minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means it's time for the Ace Man. Adam Carolla is here with This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
All right. Starting at number 3, working my way down to number 1. Number 3, one I just thought of while Ralph was talking about the Exotica Fest or the Exotic Fest or whatever that was.
Yeah, this weekend.
Yeah, literally blows into town once a year. But I thought, listen, I like porn as much as the next guy.
You like it more than the next guy.
Well, if the next guy's Ron Jeremy, then yes. But I don't feel the need to go down and rub elbows with a lot of other gents who like porn. That's I don't get what those things are about. Like, hey, the new ass cranks are in this year. Awesome. And then there's the thing where it's like you got to wait in line for 2 hours to get an autographed picture from Buffy Davis. And it's like, I don't need to wait in line to get an autograph from someone I've already seen tagged by 2 Puerto Ricans. That's my thing. Like, I'll wait in line for J-Lo's autograph.
Yeah, it does seem a little weird. I can understand you'd be put yourself in a lot of situations where you're like, I don't know that I'm comfortable with this.
And then you're hanging around with a lot of dudes who are wearing down vests with no shirt under it and a leather fanny pack. Is that really what you want to do this weekend?
Not me, but I picture you there.
No, I say we all just stay home and have at ourselves. That's
all right.
A fitting tribute to the
Exotic Expo?
Exotic Expo, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Number two, this whole Vienna and Jake thing. I've had
it's a terrible tragedy.
And the worst part is not only it's Vienna and Jake are horrible, but then it's like the other people that start coming out of the woodwork. Like, have you seen Jake's ex-girlfriend? She's telling all. She has a haircut from 1988, and she's like popping her gum. She's kind of reminds you of one of those whores from the movie Fargo when they're down by the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She's like the one with the frizzy hair, and she's like, you know, Jake, he's just a fame monger. He's just a fame whore. Really, honey? What are you doing?
On The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're being interviewed, and by the way, underneath her thing is like www.jakesxneedsajob.com. Like, honey, who dragged you out of the woodwork? How can you call Jake a fame whore when you're doing an interview for Access Hollywood about Jake being a fame whore?
Absolutely. You're right about that.
God, it's so pathetic. And, Jake was a bad kisser. Jesus Christ. We're all going to have all our ex-girlfriends killed by hobos now, you know, in case we become famous at some point.
Do you think hobos is the best way to go?
Well, you don't want to have, like, a politician do it or something. It's too high a profile job. Use your head, Kevin.
Sorry, I didn't think about that.
And number one, something I've been staring at for a while, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I wasn't sure what it was. The town. I was in Salt Lake City about 3 weeks ago, and I couldn't figure out why I wasn't depressed walking through the city. And then I realized I could see something called the sky. I wasn't bombarded with these signs and billboards and all these energy drinks where there's some dude from the UFC with his shirt off screaming, get some, at me. And I just realized the one that's bumming, and of course, you know, here we got the barbed wire around the freeway signs and the graffiti everywhere, but if you can see past that, the sign I see everywhere is this Red Dead Redemption sign.
Yeah, the new game, right.
It's like, whoa, one of the Dalton boys has a sawed-off shotgun, and he's pointing it at your car.
That's a good game.
Isn't it depressing, though?
No.
Isn't it weird to be sitting in traffic and having a guy with a sawed-off shotgun 30 feet above your station wagon just pointing it at you? Just like, and what the hell do you tell your kids? Yeah, no, he's just a... Well, there's real versions of him running around the city, sure, but this one's fake. Don't mind the 70-foot sawed-off shotgun that's pointed at your head, son. Ignore that and go on with your day. Oh, now my son's yelling at me while I'm doing this.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? Like, doesn't it start to take its, like, how come we can't see boobies on a billboard, but we can see a guy in a leather vest holding a sawed-off shotgun at our minivan?
Well, that's a good question.
Amen. I'm with you on that.
What is more depressing? Boobies or sawed-off shotguns?
Sawed-off. We're with you.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Yeah. Keep up with everything in Adam Carolla's world, including his long line of outstanding podcasts, adamcarolla.com, and also all the live shows. Ace Man's hitting the road this weekend, Kevin. He's going to be at the San Jose Improv, and then the end of the month, he's going to be at the San Diego House of Blues, Tempe, Arizona, in August. It's a crazy schedule the boy keeps, and you can keep up with all of it at adamcarolla.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you at the Exotic LA, okay?
Yeah, you will.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, I want to thank the folks at Don Francisco's Coffee, because they gave us our coffee all morning long, and I'm telling you, this is great stuff. Francisco is also they're green, you know, they buy green, they roast green, they pack green, and so it makes you feel good while you're drinking the coffee.
It's weed,
it's really good. No, Don Francisco's Coffee.
No,
yeah, it's good stuff.
Ross, you don't often drink coffee.
I drink coffee all the time.
But when you do,
I drink Don Francisco.
All right, it's world famous K-Rock at 9:42,
and now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Road Trip USA, stop number one is the band Phoenix at Lollapalooza in Chicago. You qualify to win to see that by getting a ticket.
Hi! Hey!
That was a moment with Kevin.
Now, was that worse because Mark and Tom for Blink-182 were sitting across from you? Was that a little bit more embarrassing than usual?
No. I've gotten used to that level of embarrassment.
All right. It's Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend Ralph Garman.
It is on.
What is on?
The war.
Between
me
and
other people.
Could you be more specific?
Well, here's the thing. You know, I'm a longtime fan
Him.
Fan of Comic-Con.
in San Diego.
Right.
I've gone for many years. I even broadcast this very show from there last year. And it went so well that you guys are joining me this year down in Comic-Con.
Right.
What do you mean, right? What are you smiling
about?
We are. You are.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a great... It's going to be probably the best show ever.
I'm smiling because of all the mocking that we've done of you.
Yeah, exactly. Over the years. And now you're... Now, oh, it sounds great. Oh, we want to be there too. Comic-Con's cool. We like it now.
Mm-hmm.
F you, first of all.
All right.
But now F this guy.
All right.
You're familiar with Fred Phelps? He's the head of a little church called the Westboro Baptist Church.
Oh
sure. Yeah. He's the one who pickets the dead soldiers' funerals because America's too tolerant of homosexuality, and that's why they died, right?
Right. And he goes to the funerals of homosexuals and says God hates them, and AIDS is God's work, and he mocks the parents of these people when they passed. He is an insidious human being. He is foul on every level.
He's the worst of the worst.
He has announced today that the Westboro Baptist Church will be on hand at the Comic-Con in San Diego protesting.
Protesting what? Comics?
Yes. I'm not kidding.
Why?
Because what we've done, Kevin, is we have created false idols from our comic book characters.
Ah.
Okay.
People have worshipped these comic book characters. They are false idols. Isaiah 2:8 says, "And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not." The destruction of this nation is imminent, so start calling on your Batman and your Superman now and see if they can pull you from the mess that you have created with all your silly idolatry.
I think he makes some good points.
If these people would spend even some of their energy that they spend on these comic books reading the Bible, we'd all be better off. So he's going to be down there protesting the Comic-Con.
That sounds reasonable.
With his pack of hate-filled followers.
Not that I'm advocating this, but wouldn't it be awesome if Batman and Superman kicked his ass?
That's what I'm thinking. We're going to dress up as the Justice League and then just kick their asses all over the place. Kevin, I think you should be Aquaman.
You got it.
Because you're blonde like Aquaman is. We put you in the tights and we give you a trident or a pitchfork and you just go after these guys. I'll get the Batarang out. We put Bean in a Superman costume. Give a little spit curl. It's on!
And you're going to be Captain Sticky, right? That's it.
I'm not Captain Sticky, no. There was only one Captain Sticky. He's now gone.
Now there's room for another one.
But why are they... Why are they?
Why are they?
You know why he's doing it, because he knows TV cameras are going to be there, because it's a hot pop culture event. That's why he's there. He doesn't care about this.
He doesn't think we're actually making Superman and Batman into false idols?
People go to a Spider-Man movie. They don't worship Spider-Man or pray to Spider-Man. He's an idiot.
Yeah, who would worship Batman? That's ridiculous. Who would build a shrine or a church or an altar to Batman?
Maybe he's coming after you specifically.
Oh, wait a minute.
Maybe he's targeting you. He knows you're going to be there.
That may be me.
That'd be great.
Beyonce was almost hit by a cab in London this week.
Death penalty for the cab.
Apparently she was...
Driver.
Shopping at the famous department store Harrods in London. When she went to step out of her parked car, a cab zipped by and took the door off its hinges. That car's traveling.
Yeah.
Luckily, Beyonce had not stepped out yet, so she was not hurt. But as you can imagine, she and her husband Jay-Z were both very shaken by the incident. I bet it didn't stop them from shopping, though.
No.
They went in anyway.
I would rather my dad got hit by a car than Beyonce at this point. I got to be honest. That would really make me super sad to lose Beyonce.
Let's call the chief and see how he feels about that. I bet you the feeling's mutual. No. Sammy and Ronnie are back together again. Woo!
That's great news.
Yeah. Who are they, Kevin?
I don't know.
They are the couple from Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore, yes.
Oh, right.
Sammy and Ronnie in season one. Remember, they fell in love.
But didn't she have a boyfriend or something?
That was J-Well.
All right.
J-Well had a boyfriend. She was screwing around on him.
I'm not going to
feel bad about herself.
Okay.
So anyway, they split up in the reunion episode.
Right.
And now apparently they're back together again.
That's such good news.
We can all rest easy tonight knowing that Sammy and Ronnie are back together. And speaking of which, the situation is in the news. He has created quite the cottage industry for himself. He, of course, has a line of clothing that he's designed. He is putting out his own nutrition shake and a series of diet and workout supplements. And now he has just announced that he is releasing his own iPhone app called GTL, which, of course, stands for Gym, Tan, and Laundry. And I'm not sure exactly how the app
functions in that capacity, but I'm guessing it teaches you how to do your laundry while you're bench pressing in a tanning booth or something. So I'm so glad he's having such wild success.
You don't know that he's having success with any of that stuff, by the way.
It's true. He's just doing it.
He's doing it. We'll see.
By the way, Ralph, I don't know if you heard our exhaustive and exclusive interviews with every single member that's ever been on the Jersey Shore this week.
Bean hated that
it so never
much.
Stops.
It's but one of the hottest shows on television, Bean.
I understand it is. But to a person, though, they all believe that they have permanent show business careers. This is not a flash in the pan, something I did one summer. They all believe they're going to continue to remain in the entertainment industry.
Right. You hate them for the same reason we love them.
Okay.
Because they all believe that that's
true. They're so delusional.
Right.
They're so delusional.
Completely.
What does Snooki think she is going to do after the Jersey Shore is off the schedule?
She will create a self-defense video. How to get punched in the dome and get back up again.
I mean, I guess there's a little bit of I'll pay you $500 to come to my nightclub this Friday night. I guess there's some of that money laying around for them. But, I mean, they don't have talent. They can't do anything.
Oh, Dean. Don't you realize how sweet it's going to be when they're all struggling and they're opening supermarkets and stuff and we can laugh?
Yeah, that's what I used to think about people like Omarosa. But they never leave your TV. They keep coming back.
I mean, they're a royalty.
Okay. Where's Fred Phelps when we need him? Why isn't he protesting the Jersey Shore? Do some good for this country.
And speaking of fame based on very little, Kim Kardashian's back in the news. She has announced she is adding yet another fragrance to her cosmetic line. This new perfume will hit stores in February. No word yet on what the perfume will be called. We'll have to wait until February till it hits stores and we'll find out. Ash juice is out of the running, apparently. It was my suggestion, but she's not going for that.
I don't think that sounds good.
Manufacturer says it has a several different scents, reminiscent of shawarma Botox in an NFL locker room.
Yeah.
I saw a before and after photo of her. Yeah. Before and after this severe Botox thing that she's been doing.
Oh, I didn't know she's been.
You should see the comparison. It's happened so gradually, I think we've forgotten what she used to look like. But she was such a stunning young woman. And now she's got, like, this plastic mask mannequin face.
Oh, that's not good.
It's not good. And she was much more attractive before she started juicing her face up with this Botox.
How old is she now?
Mid-20s?
And is that the deal, Lisa? Is girls in their 20s now feel they need Botox before their first wrinkle ever appears?
I guess. She's
pretty hot.
I don't know anyone who's doing it, but yeah, I guess if you've got lots of money and you're in that world...
Her face is so dead and pointy now. I said she looks like a greyhound.
Yeah.
That's what her face looks like, though. A greyhound's an attractive dog, but still.
Yes, but it's a dog.
It's a greyhound with no wrinkles.
That's true. Not a sharp
head. Giant boobs.
Today's celebrity birthday is Brian Dennehy, very talented character actor, 72 years old today. Chris Cooper, speaking of talented actors, is 59. Jimmy Smits is 55. Tom Hanks is 54. All talented actors. Another actor, O.J. Simpson, very talented actor.
Sure.
If you ever saw the Naked Gun movies. He is 63 years old today. He's in the joint. He's in the Hooskow.
He is.
He's in the Gray Bar Hotel. Wonder how you celebrate your birthday inside.
That's a good question.
Break out a salad?
No.
Toss it. You want to eat light?
What do you do with that salad?
You toss it. And Courtney Love celebrates her 46th birthday today. Happy birthday, Courtney Love. Putting those Letterman years behind you. Psycho Mike came up with that term. She ran with it. Remember that when she said she.
Oh, that's right.
She gave her credit on the Letterman show that her lost years were known as the Letterman years.
So she's now lived almost 20 years longer than Kurt Cobain did.
Yeah. There's some justice, huh?
No. How about that?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we've got an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Exotica Expo highlights with Ralph.
Oh, yeah.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and a bunch more. So come back on Monday and have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You're gay and Republican.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, Cat.
Roll another one.
These gentlemen are here to talk about Beaver.
Just like the other one.
I would not. Wanna be his nutsack.
Seems to be about to quit.
That's real talk right there, man.
And I need another hit.
I spent the afternoon making a list of famous Armenians: Eric Bogosian, Andre Agassi,
Jebby the Shark Tarkanian. That is all.
Roll.
Are you ready for the big one?
Nope.
Just like the other one.
Under 21 girls.
This one seems to be about to end.
How do the ladies resist that rap?
I don't have another sense.
Is there nothing sacred? Have we lost our moral center? Just makes me want to pee on someone.
I have a dick.
Let's pass it around.
That's not very nice talk, is it?
Black man?
All right, guys. Very impressive. Very, very loud. Well, congratulations, guys. Job well done. Let's give it up for the boys.
We're going to go out and sign t-shirts and autographs, and we also do a free, painless physical examination. It doesn't hurt as long as you don't tense up.
Hey-o! Now that we have done that, can we please go back to normal?
Enough mingling. What's the first point of business on the agenda?
For you to stop speaking.
The proceeding was a paid political advertisement and may not be suitable for children, but this station is required to carry it by federal...